is a reminder that celebrating Christmas is not halal, putting up a Christmas tree is not halal, wishing people a happy Christmas or a merry Christmas is not halal. So as a Muslim, you should be confident in your religion. Be proud that you are Muslim. Don't try to be someone that you are not.
Islamist extremist threats continue to threaten Christmas and New Year's celebrations worldwide. In Germany, security forces arrested 5 men, including a suspected imam, for planning a vehicle ramming attack on a Christmas market in Bavaria.
And this comes after heightened security measures were put in place following car ramming attack at a Christmas market in the city of Magdeburg last year, which killed 6 people and injured more than 300. And authorities say he called for the attack to be carried out with the aim of killing or injuring as many people as possible at the market.
In Poland, a 19-year-old student was detained for allegedly preparing an Islamic State-inspired bombing at a Christmas market, while Turkish police conducted raids detaining over 115 suspected ISIS members accused of plotting attacks on churches, synagogues, and New Year's gatherings during the festive period.
Authorities have taken dramatic action ahead of the holiday season. More than 100 suspected members of the Islamic State group have been arrested in a massive counter-terrorism sweep. Remember, Turkey shares a long border with Syria, nearly 900 kilometers, where jihadist groups remain active. That proximity has made the region a key concern for the Turkish security forces. And this operation comes shortly after a deadly attack in Syria on December 13, where a lone ISIS gunman, remember, killed 2 US soldiers and an American civilian.
Hugh, this is 70 strikes inside Syria, ISIS targets. That's significant. Having covered the Pentagon for a long time, that's not minuscule. And this is in response to the killing of those 3 soldiers that you saw the president meet at Dover Air Force Base.
This is a much needed and much welcome message to every enemy of America in the world that if you harm, and the president put in caps in his Truth Social, if you harm or threaten any American, especially our servicemen, he will hit you harder than you have ever been hit before. And so those people in ISIS, or whether or not they're in ISIS, I'm not sure, who are getting hammered tonight. A-10s mean they're close. They're in close and they're pounding the ground. This is the best thing President Trump could do to protect American troops and civilians abroad. I applaud him completely.
Back in Turkey, was orchestrating suicide attacks targeting civilians in Afghanistan, Pakistan, Turkey, and Europe.
The Islamic State also issued explicit threats urging supporters to turn the holiday into a season of terror.
Islamic State put out, a sort of press release. It was described as a newsletter, whatever that means, calling for the Christmas period to become a season of terror, attacking Christians and Jews. And they mocked the fact that we've taken security measures at our Christmas markets, like those hostile vehicle mitigation bollards that we saw recently at Birmingham Christmas Market. And we've seen all sorts of Christmas markets being patrolled by armed police. This is a quote. They said, to engage crowds of Christians and Jews in the heart of Europe, America, and the Jewish state, running them over with buses, beating them, and smashing them with heavy hammers. And we've seen across Europe, we've seen in Germany, in Belgium, in France, nativity scenes have been destroyed, baby Jesus statues have been decapitated and stolen, a donkey was actually punched in the face.
But it wasn't just limited to Islamic hatred. Hindu nationalist groups intensified attacks amid the Christmas season also. Reports documented over 700 incidents of violence against Christians throughout the year, including assaults on carolers, vandalism of church decorations, disruptions of prayer meetings, and mob harassment, with organizations like the Vishwa Hindu Parishad urging Hindus to boycott the festival. While New Year's has become a display of global cowardice.
In Times Square at this time, we are continually operating in a heightened threat, and please be conscious of your surroundings.
Well, federal agents have arrested a Texas man for allegedly trying to help ISIS. The newly uncovered plot comes as DHS issues a warning urging people to remain vigilant during their New Year's Eve celebrations.
Federal charges have been filed against this ISIS sympathizer here in Texas. So he's charged with trying to get bomb-making materials to an undercover FBI agent who...
Wake up in a world trying to drain your light. screams got you numb. Keep your foggy at night. They want you tired. Focus slow, but I crack the code. Now the voltage flows. Clean energy, no crash, no fade. Mind sharp like a blade when the system plays games. From the gym to the grind to the war for your mind is a lock. Nah, this is designed. Ultimate power.
Something even better than Turbo Force, filled with incredible ingredients, ladies and gentlemen. Ultimate Power ignites mental clarity and focus, clean, sustained energy, enhanced blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. Ultimate Power at thealexshowstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning and welcome to the American Journal. We're excited you're joining us. Happy New Year! We made it, folks. We made it. It was a crazy one, but I hope you enjoyed welcoming in 2026. How many of you didn't make it to the ball being dropped? I know I didn't. I will not lie to you. I was sleeping by at least 10 o'clock. So, you know, that's just how we do things after 30. We're excited that you're all joining us today. A lot to dive into, a lot to discuss in today's show. We have a lineup of incredible guests also joining me today. As many of you guys know, we keep talking about the Somalians who have ripped off American taxpayers for far too long. Well, it's not just limited to Minnesota. It's been widespread going on for years, and there's been plenty of people trying to document just that. Mahek Cook is an attorney, and she's on the ground right now in Ohio uncovering some fraud that she believes might actually be taking place in Ohio. And it's very, very insightful when you see what's going on there. When she asks simple questions, they don't like it. They're slamming doors in her face and even assaulting her for simply asking questions like, can I enroll my kids here? Can I get a form? They don't like it. We've got that video. We've got Mahek joining us on the ground in Ohio in just a bit. Also joining us later today will be Mel Kay as well. Mel Kay is ready to sound off because her and I both went through the Jack Smith deposition video that was released. Take note, was released just a couple of hours before most people went home to celebrate New Year's Eve. And this is what happens, of course. Republicans did their best for some strange reason to make sure that you weren't going to be paying attention to the deposition video. That's why they released it very, very late on Tuesday. They also, keep in mind, didn't want Jack Smith to do his testimony publicly. Now, that came out during the deposition, Jack Smith even saying that I wanted to do it publicly, but it was this committee that refused to do just that. So Mel Kay is going to be joining us to detail just that. I'll also be joined by John Stoll. Now, John Stoll is an individual who used to work over at X, but now he's going back to his roots of journalism, and he's just launched his own Substack. But most importantly, he's someone who has watched Elon Musk develop over the years, develop Tesla from the ground up. And he was on his team helping him with X. So we're excited to have John on the show today. I'll talk a little bit about that and the future of independent journalism as he sees it, because he spent a very long time working in the corporate media, and he is an advocate now for the independent world. So we look forward to having him on the show in just a bit. But there's a lot going on here, a lot happening. So let's kick things off with the Somalians, of course. As I've mentioned, you know, Republicans are just cowards, and they pretend like they're going to go out there and actually do something about the fraud that's been going on. Now, this fraud's nothing new. This has been going on for many, many years, and many journalists have actually covered this extensively. But thankfully now, because of the great work of Nick Shirley, we're finally getting some attention on the subject matter. And, you know, Republicans always want to pretend like they're actually going to do something. And so we have James Comer, obviously the chairman of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, who has announced that he is going to be having their first hearing on January 7th in regards to the fraud. Now, again, this is all deeply concerning because, well, I mean, folks, how many times have to say this? They do this type of display. They want to show you things and say, oh, look here, look here. But again, there's no action. So we'll be talking about that in just a minute. We'll also Well, let me play this clip. I want to play this clip. It's actually a very laughable clip. You know, there was this so-called Minnesota mom who needs to now go out there and defend Somalian fraudsters, alleged Somalian fraudsters, I should say, to be safe, because they have not yet been convicted. But I don't know. There's a lot of evidence that's overwhelming at this point. But this Minnesota mom, who they're trying to spin her as a mom, they apparently wrote a speech for her, and she didn't read the speech prior to getting on stage. Take a listen to clip one and what she does when she realizes that she has to say that fraud is actually a bad thing.
If childcare is cut, I'm unable to work or go to school. I understand fraud is bad.
She can't even say it. She can't even say it. Allah will punish her for saying fraud committed against the American people is a bad thing. It's a very bad thing. Poor lady. They'll probably do something to her after she gets home because of that. Now, listen, folks. This is absolutely ridiculous that these people can't even call out the fraud. They don't want to call it the fraud because this is how their people have profited. They're unintelligent and they're not able to build up businesses in their own country. In fact, they spent hundreds and hundreds of years not being able to develop a functioning government. And then so like a loving country that we are, we welcome them in. But again, why would you welcome in thousands and thousands of people from a failed country, a country that was unable to form its own government? Well, if you loved your country, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that. But unfortunately, we have many, especially on the left, who do not love this country. And they want to see us go downhill rapidly. And so that's why we're dealing with the Somalians. Folks, again, I keep asking people, tell me at least one contribution that these people have made to our country, and not a single person has an answer. Yeah, you probably think that sounds really, really cruel, but the facts are the facts, whether you like them or not. And again, it's not just happening in Minnesota, it's happening all over the country. In clip two, you're going to hear Cam Higby, who's on the ground right now in Washington, and he's uncovered something that's quite interesting in a bunch of these daycares that are out there. Now, again, these are all allegations that have not yet been proven in court. So take a listen to clip two.
My decoy and I went to Aisha Home Child Care in Kent, Washington, and she got inside. A corresponding page for Aisha Home Child Care on the state expenditure website indicates that this place has raked in $753,053 since 2022. We matched the address on the business card given to us with records for an Aisha Home Child Care on the Department of Children, Youth, and Families website for Washington State. The DCYF indicates that this place only serves two children. Their licensed capacity is 12, and they have 10 available slots, reflecting that this place only babysits two kids. But they're raking in $753,000? Even if this was, let's assume for a second, a legitimate daycare business that's only serving two children, there is no world where the government should be giving almost $1 million or $750,000 in subsidies to this place. On the inside, my decoy did see children. There was a small room inside of this person's house that was outfitted to look like a daycare. My decoy indicated that these children looked like they very well could have just been the person who was living there's children. The owner took a while to answer the door. My decoy said she heard rustling, children crying, and then when she walked in, there were the children, all standing in the daycare room, the playroom, not as if they were playing, just standing there leering at my decoy. She told me that not a single toy was out of place. This wasn't as if these children were just playing with toys and at daycare. It seemed that they were just placed in that room because there was a visitor. Now, I went through the licensing history of Aisha Home Child Care, and in 2016, they had a name change or modification that expired their license. In 2018, they moved, which corresponds exactly with the fact that I can't find any funding for this place prior to 2018. I could, however, find funding for the owner, Sarah Molin, who between 2021 and 2023 raked in $113,667 from the Department of Children, Youth, and Families, $257,078 between 2019 and 2021, and then was apparently receiving social and health benefits of $12,343 between 2017 and 2019 and $23,369 between 2013 and 2015, making a total of $1.1 million in taxpayer subsidies since 2013. Now, I'd like to be very clear. The way this appears to me is this person went from being on welfare to living in one of the nicer neighborhoods in that area, what appeared to be a very new development in a very large house, and raking in over $1 million for what right now appears to be two kids. How does that happen?
Well, how does that happen? That's a great question that needs to be asked. And I'm sure we'll be getting to the bottom of that very, very soon. Now, again, there are some politicians stepping in and claiming that they're going to do something about all of this. Now, again, I always say tread lightly. Let's go to a different subject matter, though. Let's go to Zohran Mahdani. Now, many of you guys know he is a communist, of course, but he's an Islamist as well. So it's, I guess you'd say, double trouble at this point. He hates America somehow, some way. Again, we've imported him, and we shouldn't have. We shouldn't have. So if you're wondering yesterday after he was sworn into office how the first day of communism went, well, it didn't go well for those who were in attendance to his swearing in, inauguration, whatever you want to call it. Take a look at this. This post coming from the New York Post, and it says that the first day, obviously, communism didn't go over so well because, well, Zohran Mahdani fans were disappointed because the disastrous block party apparently, get ready for this one, had no food or bathrooms. Yeah, you heard that right. No food or bathrooms. So it's off to a rough start so far for New York City and for the communists that voted this demon in. So he's taking over now, and he has really got an axe to grind with those, let's just say those who have succeeded in life, those who are wealthy. Listen, folks, if you're still in New York City, I don't know why you are, but if you're still there, then you better buckle up. It's going to be a rough 4 years. Zohran Mahdani spoke openly about how, number one, this is a communist takeover, and he plans on somehow, some way, doing just that, taking over if these landlords and others don't do what he says. Take a listen to clip four and the demands he made.
Here is what I want you to expect from the administration that this morning moved into the building behind me. We will transform the culture of City Hall from one of no to one of how. We will answer to all New Yorkers, not to any billionaire or oligarch who thinks they can buy our democracy. We will govern without shame and insecurity, making no apology for what we believe. I was elected as a democratic socialist, and I will govern as a democratic socialist. I will not abandon my principles for fear of being deemed radical. As the great senator from Vermont once said, what's radical is a system which gives so much to so few and denies so many people the basic necessities of life. We will replace the frigidity of rugged individualism with the warmth of collectivism. If our campaign demonstrated that the people of New York yearn for solidarity, then let this government foster it. Because no matter what you eat, how you pray, or where you come from, the words that most define us are the two we all share, New Yorkers.
Well, let me tell you something. As a former New Yorker, I could promise you that none of those people are actual New Yorkers. They are all imports from foreign countries that are sent here to destroy us. And then the others, if they're not foreigners, they are people who have been spoiled for far too long, have lived in their parents' basements, and are very likely having their rent paid in New York City. In fact, they are not. I repeat, not New Yorkers. The bulk of Mahdani voters were, in fact, foreigners. We know that. We know that. So to sit here and say that, well, that is absolutely insane. He himself only became a U.S. citizen in 2018. And then since that day, he has been on a mission
to destroy this country. Again, we've played this clip for you extensively several times, of course. His own campaign director saying specifically that he was supposed to run for mayor. They had this planned out back in 2014 before he was even a U.S. citizen. A country that loves itself would never allow a man like that to capture power. And it's a shame that the Trump administration didn't step in sooner. They had the authority to do just that. It could have denaturalized him because, well, he is a communist. DSA, which is the Socialists of America group, is a group that is based in communism. They say they're socialists because they can't come flat out and tell you they're communists. And because of the fact that he is a communist and has ties to that type of a party, they could have tossed him out, pulled back his citizenship. But unfortunately, we have a group of cowards who would rather see New York City go and crash down because, again, they think that if New York City hits its lowest low, that that will somehow bring people in to vote Republican. Sacrificing New York City is what exactly has taken place right now in the Trump administration. There's no other way to look at it. No other way to look at it. And the warmth of collectivism, oh my gosh, this guy is a communist prick. And we have just elevated him to the highest position right now in New York City. Never had a job, comes from a country that hates us, is a sympathizer for Islamic terrorists. And this is the guy who's now running the show. Democrats know he's a problem. But Tish James, because she hates President Trump, is going to pretend like she's on board. And Bernie Sanders, who's also a communist. AOC, who's not very intelligent. All of them have thrown their support behind this individual. The governor of New York knows that he's toxic. But she can't say anything. Because this is the future of her party. This is the future of her party. It is a communist takeover in New York City. And day one wasn't so good. But I can imagine whether it's day 100, 200, 300, 400, 1,000, it's not going to go well for New York. My friends who are still members of the NYPD, well, they have put in their retirement. They are leaving. They want nothing to do with their former city. And so many other New Yorkers are going to be leaving. Now, here's the thing. Do we allow those who vote for these types of toxic policies to move, to relocate after they've destroyed an entire city? Well, I don't think they have the right to do that. I actually think we should force them to stay in that city for 4 years. They caused this issue. They caused it. Nobody else but them. You see, it sounds so good when you hear about potentially rent control. Rent control. And I also blame Republicans. This isn't just Democrats. Let's keep in mind, Republicans refuse to address young people. And not even just young people. I mean, people in their 20s and 30s. Who are struggling to get by because housing is out of control. In New York City and Long Island, you really can't get anywhere without $1 million budget for a house. And even when you have that, you're literally living in a fort. I mean, folks, I look at the properties that are on sale right now in New York City, and $1 million gets you nothing. Nothing. So instead of talking about affordability and working on a plan to get there, they rather just pretend like it's not an issue at all so that they don't tick off their other voters, their older voters who have bought in to the housing market. But the reality is there's a growing demographic in this country, that demographic being young people who cannot afford to live in this country. And if you're anyone but Ben Shapiro, I guess at this point, you probably agree that we should be doing something about the issue. Instead, Ben, though, thinks if you can't afford to live in the United States, you should just get out. Take that, you fellow Americans. I want to play clip 5 for you because Dorian Madani is now saying that if you're involved in a dispute with your landlord, well, the government's going to be stepping in. Take a listen to clip 5.
We will not compromise on housing quality. Yeah. If your landlord does not responsibly steward your home, city government will step in. Yeah. We will make sure that 311 violations are resolved, and we will hold slumlords to account for hazardous and dangerous threats to your well-being.
You guys, he doesn't detail how he can legally do this. This is how dumb his base is. The government can't do what he just promised you he'd do. Yes, they can make policies, but they can't seize property. That's what he thinks he's going to do. He thinks he's a communist and he could seize your property if you don't comply. The problem is people who sat there and you heard cheering in the background, they have no idea what they're in store for. Also, there's this moment we should also play for you. He did give the Nazi salute. He did. Normally, we're told this is actually a bad thing. Remember when Elon Musk, they accused him of doing this? But Zoe Ramadani doesn't back down. There he is, your fellow Nazi. Now, if you're wondering what he did, there was two big executive orders that he pushed forward with just a few hours on the clock, of course. And one of those was, of course, the top priority was taking away protections for Jews. Again, he really is just a horrible person. A horrible person. There was legislation, or I believe it was an executive order that was signed by Eric Adams, the former New York City mayor, and it was regarding protests outside of place of worship. And specifically, and again, remember, place of worship is very vague. So that could be a church, obviously. That could obviously be a temple. That could be other places. They've loosened up the restrictions now. What does that mean? Well, of course, that means if you are a pro-Palestinian terrorist, you can now go after whoever you want to, whether it's Jews, whether it's Christians, and you could bother them and harass them as they try to make their way into their place of worship. So again, this isn't exclusively just something that he's doing against the Jews. It's happening to Christians as well. They will also be on the receiving end of just that. This is what's going on right now in New York City, and it's not just limited to New York City, folks. It's going to happen all over this country. If you think this is exclusive to New York, I hate to tell you, it's not. It's not. The reality of it is we live in a country that is too sympathetic. I'd say it's suicidal sympathy. We allow people into our country who do not share our values, who do not love our country, who aren't coming here for a better life to coexist with others. This is a hostile takeover, and New York City has been captured officially. Now, how this plays out will be very, very public over the next few years. But time to buckle up, because it's not just going to be New York City. This is happening all across the country. If you live in places like Georgia, well, you're next, because Atlanta is about to deal with a massive commie takeover. People think that this is just about affordability, but it's not. See, that's how they're able to wrangle in these young voters, because they are ignorant and they have no idea what the policies they claim that they support actually mean. So if you live in any of these big cities, buckle up. It's going to be a big one. But also remember, it always starts off in the big cities and then it bleeds out slowly to the rural suburb areas. And we see that obviously with mass immigration. All right, we got a lot more to discuss on today's show. I'm going to give you a throwback later on when we discuss Project Veritas. Because many of you guys know, they did an incredible job at investigating a lot of things, but most importantly, the fraud in Minnesota, specifically though, the illegal ballot harvesting. Now this happened back in 2020, but I want to make sure you guys remember because they did an incredible job on this subject. And there's been a lot of fraud, not just limited to robbing American taxpayers, of course, so we'll play that. We'll also play several concerning clips that come from the Prime Minister of Israel. Benjamin Netanyahu is out here screaming about the Iranian threats and why Americans should be on high alert. He's been doing this for quite some time now, though, but he's trying to push us closer and closer to what I believe is a war with Venezuela because he sees it as a proxy for Iran. He was on Newsmax and did just that. We'll play that clip. We'll also talk about an Israeli billionaire who says that our rights to free speech, our First Amendment, is actually a major threat. And he's looking to crunch down on all of that. Surprise, surprise. Foreigners come to our country and tell us what, in our Constitution, we should be able to implement. An absolute disgrace. Folks, right now, if you head on over to thealexjonesstore.com, we have free atomic defense. You get a free one of those every time you make a supplement purchase over at the store. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. We also have beef tallow. We just launched that last week, and it's up right now on the shop. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Make sure you grab some of that as you guys kick off the new year. This is definitely a healthy way to start things off. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com, and make sure you grab these items before it's too late. All right, John Stoll will be joining me in just a moment, so buckle up. There's more to discuss specifically, though, about Elon Musk in just a bit. Don't go anywhere.
Let me tell you about this. Our sponsor, Bigly, and the products they have at thealexjonesstore.com are whatever the highest source, best quality, highest rated products are, we go out and private label them, and in some cases, soup them up and make them even better. So we did a year ago a survey, what do listeners want? and you wanted methylene blue, you wanted beef tallow that Kennedy talks about, which I know is great for cooking and is so much better for you than seed oils, and you wanted high-quality Shilajit. We brought you all the best. They've sourced the best. This is so heavy. This is so huge. Tiny little scoop of this with whatever you're cooking makes it taste so great, whether it's potatoes, whether it's eggs, whatever you're cooking. Beef tallow is so delicious. This is concentrated beef tallow, private label from the top ones in the country. No preservatives, no artificial ingredients, gluten-free, packed with nutrients. Unlike seed oils, which are fake toxic garbage, beef tallow is real food that promotes whole body health. Get 25% off now when you become a subscriber today and then lock in a bigger discount. You can cancel anytime for free at alexjonesstore.com. Beef tallow has been all the rage. It's what the listeners asked for. We've got the best for you right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And separately, creatine of the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligram gummies, huge container of them. Look into neurological studies, Alzheimer's, you name it. It's so good for young people, old people. Everybody needs it. Got it, 2 flavors, thealexjonesstore.com. And it's your funding this operation that makes it all possible. I need your support. I am funded by you. I am supported by you. And I'm battling the Democrat Party law firms that have been trying to shut us down. And we've been winning thanks to your support. But it takes money to fight this war. So don't wait. Get our creatine gummies. Get the new incredible beef tallow. Just as amazing or more is the bovine colostrum. The first 2 weeks from cow's milk is the ultimate combo of super nutrients. You name it, for your immune system, your clarity, your focus, your hair, your skin, your nails. It's crazy. These are the best products. These are amazing. They will change your life. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And if you're going to buy anything there, become a VIP. $30 a month. Cancel anytime for free. The minute you become a VIP in your profile, you get $40 to spend instantly, making $10. Special deals, special offers, special sales on everything. So if you're buying anything at TheAlexJonesStore.com, become a VIP. Cancel anytime. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thank you for standing with us. We'll never back down, never give in, but we could give out without your support. So you are the reason we're still here, and I thank you and salute you for it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Welcome to TheAlexJonesStore.com, the home of real solutions. Fuel your day with Ultimate Burn and Ultra Methylene Blue. Replenish and recharge with Ultimate Sea Moss or delicious Shilajit gummies. Stay sharp, stay stylish with our t-shirts and sweatshirts. Perfect for any season. Don't wait. Tap into real gear and real supplements at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Power up today.
Better than Turbo Force, filled with incredible ingredients, ladies and gentlemen. Ultimate Power ignites mental clarity and focus, clean, sustained energy, enhanced blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. Ultimate Power at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal Workshop. You're all jumping on with us today. A lot to dive into, a lot to dig into the headlines with. But before we do all that, I wanted to reflect on something I think is very important. Independent journalism, I tell you all the time, is going to save this country, but the people who are backing it are the real ones who are going to save this country. And Elon Musk, obviously being a big person who has done a lot for the independent journalism world by just simply purchasing Twitter. And it was kind of a little pricey, but it was worth it, I think. Elon Musk has been a fighter for both free speech and independent journalism, and it's an important thing to highlight. Now, obviously, folks, he is one of the wealthiest men on this earth. So it's very, very important that we highlight just
that. Now, how did Elon get this wealthy? Well, obviously, this wasn't an overnight story. This is a man who has worked extremely hard for several years now. Elon Musk on Wednesday closed his net worth at about $726.3 billion. That's billion with a B, of course. That's according to Forbes, who, according to them, is, well, he's the largest, well, he's running the one of the world's largest economies with his companies, of course, but most importantly, he is one of the wealthiest. And this is all great news, of course, for Elon, but most importantly for us who truly do appreciate hard work and appreciate free speech. Again, Elon Musk, obviously coming to this country as an immigrant, has proven so much that hard work in this country will potentially have you thriving, and he's done just that. But there's not much that we know about Elon, and I think it's interesting to kind of learn a little more about Musk. Let's tune into this one. So this one is our next segment that we're going to dive into, and it has to do with a new story that just went up on Substack, Stoll77.substack.com. That's run by John Stoll. Now, as many of you guys may be familiar with him, he's a journalist for over 20 years. He also was formerly over at the Wall Street Journal as well, and he also just recently was working over at X. Now, he's written a piece in regards to Elon Musk and the man he's known for decades. Joining me now is John himself, and he's going to break down all things related to Musk and independent journalism. So it's an honor to have him on today's program. John, thank you for being with me. I'm excited to have you here. You did a great piece on your Substack, and it goes into detail about how when you were working over at the Wall Street Journal, you were kind of stumbled upon Elon Musk and what we all know now is Tesla. And it wasn't very well known back then what Musk was doing, and he suddenly has built up this empire. So dive into a little bit of the background of the man that you met back in the day before Tesla became the Tesla we all know.
Hey, Happy New Year, Brianna. Nice to see you again.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, you know, I decided to take some time to write a little bit of what goes on behind the scenes with journalists, not as an expose, but just as an informative sort of project over 2026. You know, I have many, many stories to tell. But, you know, Musk is the one that a lot of people gravitate toward and want to, you know, talk about what it's like to cover him, what it's like to work for him, to know him. And, you know, kind of the origin story for me was being an automotive reporter in Detroit. And, you know, I spent my entire life in Detroit, pretty much. I've lived in Europe, lived in New York, lived in different places, but Detroit's always been home. And you kind of grow up with an insular view of the way the auto industry should work. Obviously, it's the Motor City. And you grow up with stories about, you know, how the auto industry works, how influential it is, what's possible, what's not possible. The intersection of Washington and Detroit has always been very, very active. And, you know, if you see it in the tech industry, you definitely saw it in the auto industry for many, many years, which was Detroit telling the Washington regulators, no, we can't do that. We just can't do that. And Elon came around, you know, made his fortune, his initial fortune with PayPal and other ventures, and had already been working in rockets when the Tesla opportunity came across his plate as an investor. He first dove into Tesla and then, you know, gradually took over as CEO and really put his imprint on it. You know, it went from a good idea to a real idea when Elon came aboard. He kept many of the brilliant people on board, but really took the helm. And you started to see what an Elon Musk company, run company looks like. And that is through sheer force of will, taking a concept that most people thought was impossible, which was electric cars, and not only making an electric car, but making it attractive. You know, at the beginning, it wasn't affordable. Today, they are affordable. Today, they are widely available. But, you know, 20 years ago, when I first started covering Tesla, it was a moonshot, and I didn't give it a lot of credence, and nobody in the auto industry would, because it was one small roadster car, two-seater, that cost $100,000 and needed to be charged, and there just wasn't a business case for it. But if you fast forward to when the Model S came out, and that was their first, you know, real mass market car, it was a four-door sedan, could fit five people. I was still a very, very heavy skeptic, but living in Europe, and I had an opportunity to test drive that car. And my story is about how that changed my mind on what not only Tesla was capable of, but what this entrepreneur was capable of. And I would say in 2014, Elon was a known commodity, but he wasn't the Elon Musk that everybody talks about every day. I just looked up last night. He is the subject of millions, hundreds of millions of mentions on X. And obviously he owns the platform. But even before he owned the platform, he's always been, for the last, you know, 6 or 7 years, a dominant figure in our society. But, you know, in 2014, when I first drove his car, he wasn't necessarily a household name. And so I started to get to know him at that point, really, you know, giving him credit for doing something that Detroit said it could not do. And that was an attractive, awesome, you know, mind-blowing vehicle that people just, that, you know, young boys would grow up dreaming of owning. And even today, you know, 11, 12 years after its launch, it still remains an iconic vehicle, the Model S, and they've obviously followed up with other vehicles. But, you know, that was an invitation to me to start covering him and his enterprises and to get to know him better. And, you know, it was not, and it still is not always a, you know, an adoring relationship from journalist to a subject, but, you know, I obviously pushed very hard on his businesses and tried to hold accountable what he was doing. But over those years, definitely got to know him and his style, which is unique among entrepreneurs and anybody I've ever covered in my life.
Yeah, and I actually like how you cover this in your Substack piece too as well, because I don't think people realize sometimes you get pushback from the people you're writing stories on. And it's interesting because although the pushback might not be they might not agree with your reporting, sometimes you still develop relationships with those people. And you posted in your piece that Elon sent you a text message after you did one report saying that the WSJ, a second-rate publication, and then sent a screenshot of a note that he received from an investor who agreed with his dim view about our work. Talk a little bit about that, because even though he disagreed with it, I mean, he still trusted you enough to hire you over at X and to keep it going, your relationship over the years. So how does that even come about?
Yeah. I mean, just for context, it was many, many years between that lovely text and him hiring me. And I had left journalism and was, you know, sort of dreaming about the next chapter of what the news business would be when he did hire me. So it wasn't like, you know, okay, you know, the WSJ sucks, come and work for me. It was more like, that was a shot across the bow for me as an editor who, you know, journalists are challenged to keep their sources, regardless of who they are, if they're unnamed sources or they're the richest person in the world, to keep them at an arm's length. And it's not just in terms of getting too cozy with them, but it's also about, you know, defining who they are in black and white. Nobody is black and white. Everybody is a human being, and there are a lot of nuances and contexts that need to be understood in the way that people operate. And, you know, decisions such as the decision to buy Twitter need to be considered in the broader context of a person and not just, well, I disagree with their politics or I disagree with the way that he went about, you know, taking a Tesla to autonomous driving, which was very fast. And I don't, you know, the coverage over the 2016, 2017, 2018 period was very tough on Elon because this was a new technology. So if you think about autopilot on a Tesla, that was he wasn't the only one thinking about autonomous vehicles in that time frame 10 years ago, but he was by far among the most aggressive when it came to putting that technology on the road and putting that technology in the hands of everyday drivers. And there is a benefit to autonomous driving. There are 35,000 car accidents that lead to fatalities a year. A lot of those are pedestrians. A lot of those are in cabin people who unfortunately lose their lives. And there is a lot of scientific evidence that would show that autonomous vehicles would cut that down dramatically. But you do want to make sure that the proper steps are being taken to putting this very, very powerful technology on the road. And then so I think the moral there is, you know, there were some very tough stories and a lot of very tough phone calls. There were a lot of in-person visits with Elon that did not go well. I would say things and they were not agreed with, you know, and say things in the form of questions and they might set him off. But I think the bottom line there with Elon was the feeling that I could be fair and objective. And I'm not trying to toot my own horn as much as just, you know, evaluate in hindsight what it was that kept him on the line and kept him talking to me, even though he might not have liked my publication. There are many publications that Elon Musk and many, many powerful people don't like because of either fairness or unfairness. And sometimes that coverage can rub the wrong way. But I think if you're willing to see somebody for who they are and to ask questions and reflect their answers in the coverage that say, you know what, this person listened to me. It was not a story that I wanted to see, but my perspective was reflected. And I remember several years later, once Tesla had emerged from what Elon had called production hell, 2018 was a very hard year. 2017, 2018 was a very hard period for Tesla. You know, it could be argued that they were hanging by, you know, a fingernail in terms of survival. And Elon was very public about how difficult that was. And one of the stories that I wrote shortly after that year when they had finally sort of set up production facilities around the world was that we had to step back and give Elon his due credit because he had done things not only from an automotive production standpoint with creating the Tesla Model S and other vehicles, but also from a logistics and supply chain standpoint that had previously been very hard for anybody to do, much less a startup that was losing money. And when I wrote that story, again, it came with a lot of caveats, a lot of, you know, we need to take this in the broader context of some of the mistakes that Elon's made and some of the things that he said on Twitter at the time that were, you know, not necessarily the best idea. But we do need to step back and say this man has accomplished a lot. And he retweeted that before he owned X and changed the name. He retweeted it mm-hmm. and said, fair story. You know, and that was it. That was a compliment to me. It was a sign of a job well done if a subject can say fair and not go on glowing about it and telling everybody to read it. But, you know, his response being fair. And I do remember, candidly, Brianna, I had some pushback at the Wall Street Journal about him saying that it was a fair story, that was, you know, out of bounds. And it get me thinking, like, if we're not seeking fairness, what are we seeking?
Yeah. Well, I think it's important, John, and that's what I want to get to with you because, you know, you and I have a common passion and that's independent journalism. And I always say it on this show too, especially that it's going to save this country. And it's something that Elon Musk also truly does believe in as well. I want to play clip 13 for you because just a few years ago, he spoke openly about independent journalism. Take a listen.
What we're not going to do is say that there's some anointed class of journalists who are the special ones who get to tell everyone what they should think. That it should be up to the people what they think. And even if an article is completely accurate and comprehensive and everything, if they're still in writing that article, the media is choosing the narrative. They're deciding what to write an article about. So I'm hopeful that this can be more a case of the public choosing the narrative as opposed to the media choosing the narrative. But the media can choose the narrative, at least a combination of the media and the public choosing the narrative. And the public getting to weigh in on stories if they think that they should add something to it or if we've got something wrong. And over time, I think if Twitter is the best source of truth, it will succeed. And if we are not the best source of truth, we will fail.
A lot has changed since.
Okay. So I believe that was 2023, 2024 when he made that comment. And here we are obviously entering 2026 and we're watching the reports of people like Nick Shirley and other independent journalists who are putting their stories out there and they're literally independent filming from their phones, with an Amazon purchase microphone, going out in the streets and having massive impact. You know, Nick Shirley's story got over 100 million views. And this is a common theme with great reporting of independent journalists. They are able to have a space on X and other platforms and their stories are heard. And it's causing the mainstream media to have to pull and cover these stories. What do you make by Musk's comments? Although it was a few years ago, he's pretty much predicting the future here. The American people have a desire for this unbiased type of reporting.
Yeah, I've definitely been lockstep with him on the theory for several years. When he bought Twitter, we had conversations about what that would look like in practice, taking a platform that was as powerful and ubiquitous as Twitter and using it for balancing out what had, you know, and continues to be often viewed as an untrustworthy and narrow mechanism, which is the mainstream media. I wouldn't throw the baby out with the bathwater and say that the mainstream media needs to go away by any stretch. We need big, well-funded newsrooms to do the type of journalism that only big, well-funded journalism houses can do. But yeah, it was high time for a lot of the folks in independent media to get a platform where they could be known and distribute their work and drive people to places where those independent journalists were able to monetize their work. There's a lot of work to be done, and it's a lot easier in theory than it is in practice. And one of the challenges that X has is whether it can really be a true town hall. And I really do believe it can be, but there's our growing pains when, you have an explosion of opportunity and an explosion of viewpoints. And it's that, you know, silver bullet that everybody's looking for is to have true dialogue about these stories and not for the attention to be like, how was the story broken or who broke the story? But are we actually talking about the, you know, issues? And one of the powerful things about Nick's piece is, you know, that it moves the hand of government. And that it moves, the accountability is not just for the sake of accountability, but it's actually for the sake of change. And if we're talking about abusive taxpayer money, and this isn't the first time that Minnesota's issues have been highlighted by the media, the mainstream media has, you know, delved into this before, but the continual coverage of this, has it been fixed? Have adequate steps been taken by the governor of Minnesota or by the federal government to fix this? And obviously it hasn't. And so it does deserve more light. And, you know, the power of the independent media is to continue to follow up on that. The challenge will be to fund that media and to fund that work. And, you know, I think 2026 will be a very influential year in consolidating some of those efforts. So that, you know, it's not a bunch of independent journalists working against each other for a small pool of revenue, but actually working together to figure out ways to consolidate their efforts so that there is a business model going forward for independent journalists, particularly as you get more and more platforms and, you know, you get more and more opportunities and you're going to have more and more mainstream media getting into independent journalism because mainstream media is shrinking.
Yeah, and John, also, you know, you are hitting it over the target with that one because CBS is also starting to change its tune a bit. And I think that's really big news. I want to play this clip because this came from the evening news. I believe this came out yesterday. So let's play clip 14.
A lot has changed since the first person sat in this chair. But for me, the biggest difference is people do not trust us like they used to. And it's not just us. It's all of legacy media. And I get it. I get it because I've been hearing about it from just about everybody for more than 20 years as I've traveled America on this assignment or that. My mom's neighbors in West Virginia, my own neighbors in New York City, thousands and thousands of conversations in between. Sometimes people want to talk to me about our coverage of NAFTA or the Iraq War. Other times it's all about Hillary Clinton's emails or Russiagate. Or more recently, COVID lockdowns, Hunter Biden's laptop, or the president's fitness for office. The point is, on too many stories, the press has missed the story because we've taken into account the perspective of advocates and not the average American. Or we put too much weight in the analysis of academics or elites and not enough on you. And I know this because at certain points, I have been you. I have felt this way too. I felt like what I was seeing and hearing on the news didn't reflect what I was seeing and hearing in my own life, and that the most urgent questions simply weren't being asked. So here's my promise to you today and every time you see me in this chair. You come first, not advertisers, not politicians, not corporate interests. And yes, that does include the corporate owners of CBS. I report for you, which means I tell you what I know, when I know it, and how I know it. And when I get it wrong, I'll tell you that too. It also means I'm going to talk to everybody and hold everyone in public life to the very same standard. After all, I became a journalist to talk to people. I love talking to people about what works in this country, what doesn't, and not only what should change, but the good ideas that should never change.
So, John, I've sat in these newsrooms before as we were going back and forth pitching stories that were going to air on major networks. And some of these stories that I was working on would get crushed instantly if there was an advertiser that this might take off. And so that was one of the most disappointing points to all of this. But, you know, he sounds truthful. Do you think, though, that this is going to become the popular strategy in all of this, telling the audience that you're going to side with them rather than the big advertisers moving forward for the mainstream media?
You know, in theory, this has been what newsrooms have been reporting to do for a long time. I think the advertiser issue is second to the, you know, political pressure issue, which is much, much more important. I think, you know, I Netflix just had a very interesting, Kai Hirsch, documentary where he talked about being at the New York Times in the 1980s and trying to, you know, report on corporate issues, and it all got derailed because the companies got mad at the New York Times and the New York Times didn't want to write about the issues that the advertisers were a little bit upset about. So this is not a new issue. I do think it's secondary to the other pressure. So the problem isn't that an advertiser is going to come to a newsroom and say, you can't write that story, or the, you know, the salespeople are going to come and say, and I do agree with you, Brianna, it has happened. It does happen. I think the bigger problem is if we go report on this, are advertisers going to leave regardless of if it affects the advertiser or not? I mean, if our news, it makes people feel uncomfortable, will we still report on it? If we're going to report on the White House and this story is going to ruffle some feathers, are we courageous enough to go forward with the story? Regardless of who's going to get upset, it could be an advertiser. It could be, you know, our access to the Pentagon. It could be our access to the White House, et cetera. That's where the boldness and the courage is needed. And CBS is, you know, opening a lane that needs to be open, which is saying, hey, we're taking a bit of a different view when it comes to how we're going to approach the news. They're not the first to do this. But the important thing is that they're going to go out there and pursue bedrock journalists and not just have a different opinion, bedrock journalism and not just have a different opinion. You know, it's fairly easy to do the, we have a different take on a story that's circulating. It's a lot harder to go out there and start digging under rocks and doing this type of work that actually serves the American public with new information that they may not have known, or they may, you know, that mainstream media may not have been willing to cover. That's the challenge.
Yeah. And we're going to see as it all kind of, begins to take place in 2026. I assume that this is going to become a much bigger story for a lot of these big networks. So we look forward to that. John, thank you for joining us today.
No problem.
We greatly appreciate it. And we're excited that you've launched your Substack. So folks, head on over to stole77.substack.com. Make sure you subscribe. Also give them a follow on X as well. You've been a great supporter of mine, so I appreciate all of your work. So thank you, John.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, folks. In the meantime, head on over as well to thealexjonesstore.com. Like we've told you, I can't stop bragging. We've just now officially launched the beef tallow, which is a great way, great alternative for you to get rid of the seed oils in your home and to start cooking with a healthier type of oil. Beef tallow just launched the shop. It's packed with vitamins, and it is also grass-fed beef. So head on over to the Alex Jones Store. Make sure you grab yourself some of that today. We'll be right back in a second.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. bodybuilders take is it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win, but regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Joining us as we get ready to kick off the second hour of the show. The first portion, I will give you like a little rundown on some of the news stories to catch you up on, and then we'll also be taking some callers as well. So make sure you give us a call if you're interested in joining the show and discussing any of the topics we've discussed thus far. Again, we'll be taking those calls in a little bit for this show. And then in the third hour of the show, let me just give you a little heads up as to who we have coming on. Mehek Cook is on the ground right now in Ohio, and she's knocking on the doors of daycares in Ohio right now. It's a very dangerous job because they're not very happy with the fact that Mehek is, who's an attorney, by the way. They're not happy that Mehek is asking the tough questions like, can I get a form? Can I see some things here? Are you guys really taking kids? Well, they're not opening doors, and when they do, they assault her. We've got the video. She's been assaulted twice so far by asking simple questions. And she's joining us on the ground as she continues to ask those questions all around Ohio. So we'll be joined by her in just a bit as well. In the third hour, also joining me will be Miss Mel Kay. Mel Kay, obviously, a good friend of mine. She's been doing a lot of digging into a lot of incredible topics. But most importantly, she joined me in the riveting job that we had to watch the 8-hour deposition of Jack Smith. Now, of course, Republicans, because they were spineless, they decided to drop that deposition video right before New Year's Eve. They were hoping, I guess, that we weren't going to watch. I don't know why they did it. And the only reason why I think that they did this intentionally was because during the deposition, it actually came out that Jack Smith wanted to testify publicly, and that for some reason, House Republicans didn't want that to happen. It's a real head scratcher. Mel Kay joining me because she was upset that Jack Smith wasn't arrested on the spot for openly admitting to locking President Trump up. I mean, he literally says, and we'll play it for you too. Now, President Trump didn't have his First Amendment rights when talking about election fraud in 2020. No, he really thinks it wasn't protected by the First Amendment. And he said it with a straight face. We'll play that for you in a bit as well. We'll also be playing a clip regarding Project Veritas. And in case you forgot, 6 years ago, they uncovered a massive amount of fraud in Minnesota, but specifically illegal ballot harvesting. Now, it's important that we remind you that this has been ongoing on for a very long time. It's been happening in the Somalian community for a very long time. And there was no accountability after PV dropped that report. It was an absolute bombshell. And for some reason, our politicians, who are a bunch of cowards, just decided not to make a move on that. Now, that probably is the reason why we have Ilhan Omar, some might say. So we'll play that for you today. We'll also play a clip of the Israeli prime minister who is trying his very best to push this threat that he's been pushing for far too long now, that Iran is getting ready to attack the U.S. So we all need to jump in on this war with him. We'll play that clip for you. We'll also play the proof that he's been doing this for far too long. And we'll also talk about an Israeli billionaire who is on a mission. His New Year's resolution is to eliminate the First Amendment in this country. Don't you love those billionaires? So we'll talk about that in a little bit as well. We'll also give you an update about a fire that happened out inside of a Swiss ski resort bar on New Year's Eve. The video is insane, but sadly, over 40 people have been killed with over 100 injured. I'll give you the latest as to what caused that fire in just a bit as well. Now, that fire that you see on your screen, too, is a fire that took place at a church. So I want to keep reminding you guys that churches just don't go randomly setting themselves on fire. We'll talk about that in a little bit. It's a growing theme. And we're not allowed to talk about how these fires all of a sudden start.
But I will, for sure. Well, let's talk about Saudi Arabia, because last year alone, they executed over 300 people. Now, if you're wondering why Saudi Arabia did this, that's, well, it's probably, I don't know, maybe we should in the U.S. take them up on this, because it kind of sounds like a good idea. Saudi's going to lead on anything. This might actually be it. I'll detail that for you in just a bit. So we've got a lot more to dive into throughout the show, so buckle up, more to discuss. Again, folks, if you'd like to join the show, give us a call right now. We will be taking calls in about, I guess I'd say 25 minutes, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. Don't go anywhere. More to discuss in just a moment.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Glad you're all joining us today. We're taking your calls for a portion of this hour. So if you want to join the show, talk about maybe a news story we talked about thus far, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539 is the number you'd like to call to join today's program. We've got a lot to discuss. So again, 877-789-2539 is the number to jump in on. All right. Let's dive into a couple more stories. Now, again, we'll be talking to two incredible guests, Maha Cook on the ground right now in Ohio, knocking on doors as an attorney, trying to learn more about the Somalian daycares in her state, and also Mel Kay joining us as well. Now, when it comes to the fraud, I want to make this very clear. This isn't something that's brand new. We've known for quite some time now that Somalians have been committing fraud, not just financial, but also election fraud. And we only know this because of the great folks over at Project Veritas before it was obviously dismantled, we could say. PV really put out a bunch of great work, and their journalists did an incredible job at uncovering something massive in Minnesota. Probably the reason why Ilhan Omar has landed in this position. There was a massive amount of illegal ballot harvesting exposed in 2020. Which, if you're wondering how many arrests it led to, well, the answer is, well, sadly none, because Republicans are spineless. Take a listen to clip three.
O'Keefe here in downtown Minneapolis at the scene of the crime. The person you're about to meet, Liban Mohammed, a.k.a. King Liban One, boasts about the hundreds of absentee ballots in his car.
There was video. You can see the video. There was a video out and about that he has the ballots in his car.
Right.
And talking about the only way you can win is with money. I was looking at them and they were not filled. They were blank.
Who is the one filling out the absentee ballots? People who work with, like, Ilhan Omar. Where do they pay the money?
The minute we sign the thing, the election, that's what you get paid.
Money is everything. Money is the key in this world. If you ain't got money, you should not be here, period.
Because that's what
Allah
wants.
At the end of this street,
yes,
there's 3 towers called phone towers.
Okay.
And it's all seniors, and they took every ballot.
Every ballot. They just
every
take them from them.
Every single ballot. They knock on the door and say, your ballot's come, give it to me, give it to me.
They don't even pay them for it. They just take it.
No. And the ones that didn't vote on ballots, the young people and the women and stuff, they were paying cash. They were getting bags of money the last 1 week here to drive people. So there's a vested interest, but we are victims of the system. They don't give a shit about any Somali.
2 in the morning, still hustling.
Who is the one filling out the absentee ballots?
People who work with, like, Ilhan Omar and other candidates work for them. They came to us to our apartments. They tell us that this year you're going to vote for Ilhan. You don't go nowhere, you stay home. We will tell you to fill out the absentee ballot. When it comes, we'll come and get it. You just don't go nowhere, you stay here. They fill out for us.
You know, it's sad to say that Project Veritas obviously has gone away. They did do incredible work as a unit, and it is very sad to see that that incredible reporting resulted in absolutely no arrest. But not surprising, of course, because Republicans are spineless. They're a bunch of cowards. They're too afraid to touch issues like that because they don't want to offend the Somalian population. This is an ongoing issue, of course, because our very own have traded us in. So again, great journalism done at the hands of independent journalists. And sadly, lawmakers were too cowardly to do anything about that. Now, again, I continue to wait for a response from our own immigration services because Ilhan Omar is obviously someone who should not be allowed to be in Congress. But she's there. Let's get to another topic. Let's talk a little bit about Israel because the Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, has been at Mar-a-Lago. He's been hanging out with President Trump, but I know it's got a lot of people on edge because, well, let's be honest here. The Israeli Prime Minister has a lot of foreign influence, specifically, though, in this country. Sadly, our politicians are continuing to pretend like this man is a man who speaks truth. He's obviously inching this country closer to a war with Iran, and that is his goal. Take a listen to clip 6, because in clip 6, this was an interview he did with Newsmax in regards to the Iranian threats, and now he's trying to pin it on Venezuela, and he's trying to kind of make it sound like this is very, very serious, and the U.S. really has to get involved. Take a listen.
We've had an unbelievable success, and by degrading Iran, which was a first-rate power, now it's a second-rate or third-rate power, they were throwing their weight all over the place, exporting terrorism, not only to every part of the Middle East, but to Venezuela. They're in cahoots with the Maduro regime, you know. They're exporting terrorism to America, to the American hemisphere. And then they want these Hezbollah and Hamas to get their guys into the United States. So Hamas and Iran's and its proxies are a threat not only to us, but to all, to Israel, all America's allies in the Middle East, and to America itself.
All right, he's been pushing this Iranian threat for quite some time. That's not the first time he's done it. And that's the reason why so many people strongly dislike the prime minister. Take a listen to clip 7 and the videos that were put together to highlight the fact that he continues and has been doing this for many, many years now.
If not stopped, Iran could produce a nuclear weapon in a very short time. It could be a year. It could be within a few months. They have the wherewithal, the stored up, preserved knowledge to make a bomb very quickly. If they wanted to do it.
Iran is so dangerous. Weeks away from having the fissile material for an entire arsenal of nuclear bombs.
They're very close. They're 6 months away from being about 90% of having the rich uranium for an atom bomb.
Iran is gearing up to have to produce 25 bombs, atomic bombs a year, 250 bombs in a decade.
Ladies and gentlemen, time is running out.
Iran will be capable of producing alone, without importing anything, nuclear bombs within 3 to 5 years.
This is why so many Americans truly do not like Israel and our ties to Israel, and it's rightfully so. He has been drumming up this fear-mongering campaign in regards to Iran. And it's not saying that Iran isn't a threat to the United States, but his continuous push to inch this country closer to war with Iran is something that many Americans are deeply, deeply concerned about. We see that in everyday polls, that younger and younger Americans are, well, they've had enough. They've had enough. Now, it's not just obviously the prime minister. It's also billionaires coming from Israel. There's an Israeli prime, there's an Israeli billionaire, Shlomo Kramer, who was just on CNBC the other day, and he has deemed that our constitutional rights in regards to the First Amendment are actually a threat, and they need to be regulated because this is a global threat when you get to say whatever you want to say, and it's completely unfiltered. Take a listen to clip 8 as well.
Network Shlomo Kramer, also one of the founders of Checkpoint, another big cyber company. Shlomo, it's great to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
How is AI cyber warfare shaping geopolitics right now?
So AI is going to revolutionize cyber warfare, is revolutionizing cyber warfare from critical infrastructure to the fabric of society and politics, and undermining it, giving unfair advantage to authoritarian governments against democratic countries, First Amendment type of...
That's already happening?
That's already happening. You're seeing the polarization in countries that allow for the First Amendment and protect it, which is great. And I know it's difficult to hear, but it's time to limit the First Amendment in order to protect it. And quickly before it's too late.
What do you mean?
We need to control the platforms, all the social platforms. We need to stack rank the authenticity of every person that expresses themselves online and take control over what they are saying based on that ranking.
The government should
do that. And we need to educate people against lies, and government need to develop cyber defense programs that are as sophisticated as the cyber attack. Today it's a 1 to 100 ratio. And really government are not doing this today at any rate, and enterprises are left fending from themselves.
Well, let's just be clear where I stand on all of this. Piss off, foreigner. You don't get away in our free speech. You don't get away in our First Amendment and tell us how we can live our lives. No, we don't respect the government when it tries to infiltrate the First Amendment and limit speech. And when he sits there and says we need to authenticate who these people are who are making these posts online, he's talking about tracking individuals and doing what exactly you see playing out throughout Europe. They don't like free speech. They know that a free platform where Americans are able to say whatever they want is the threat because they can't control the narrative. And they want full control of the narrative. Listen, folks, you should be able to say whatever you want. That some billionaire in Israel has no control over that. That needs to be the unifying pushback on a message like that. Now, sadly, now that I listen to the continuous dialogue on that interview, none of his other two panelists really gave much of a pushback. Didn't really give much of a pushback. Our First Amendment isn't going anywhere anytime soon. It's a hill that myself and others are willing to die on. They will not sit here and infringe. We will not allow them to track what you want to say online and then re-educate us. We don't need re-education. We know what we're talking about. And if you want to say something that those are, especially in Israel, deem as critical, you should be able to do that because you are an American. So if you don't like it, then stay the heck out of our country. You're not welcome here. The First Amendment will forever be the hill I'm willing to die on, and so many other Americans, I'm sure. All right, let's keep it going. There's more stories to cover, of course. I don't know if you guys saw this one. This was actually a tragedy. The Swiss ski resort on New Year's Eve had a disastrous fire that happened inside of a nightclub. 40 people have been confirmed dead, sadly, and over 100 are injured. According to reports, it all started after the fatal fire began after an accidental sparkler set the roof on fire. It was a woman who was apparently on someone's shoulders, and she was holding a champagne bottle with a sparkler. Now, the ceiling itself was flammable, and it quickly caught on fire because of that. And sadly, over 300 patrons who were inside the nightclub were unable to get out, many saying that they were unable to even breathe. There's even a video circulating online of one individual opening a side door, a glass door, which resulted in one woman coming out and she could barely breathe. It was a devastating video. And sadly, authorities are having to identify these individuals. The latest press conference, I believe, said that there were over 117 people injured in this fire. So again, absolutely devastating, and highlighting the fact that a lot of these nightclubs all around the world are really a dangerous, dangerous area to go to. And they need to do a better job. There's no excuse as to why somebody would be carrying a sparkler in a place that has flammable ceilings. The ceilings, by the way, were soundproof. It looked like there was foam at the top of the ceiling, and that's what caught on fire from some of the images that have circulated on social media. So absolutely upsetting and devastating. I want to turn to back here in the homeland, because Carrie Lake is speaking what I think so many Americans want her to call out right now in clip 9. She's calling out the fact that there have not been any arrests, and she's being very, very clear on how this makes her feel. Take a listen.
There's not a damn person in handcuffs, yet they dragged Roger Stone out of his house. They raided Mar-a-Lago. They attacked President Trump. When are we going to see some effing handcuffs on some effing criminals in this country? The American people have had it up to here, and we want some people locked up, prosecuted, behind bars for the rest of their lives. We're sick and tired of it.
All right. Now, it's important to note that Dan Bongino is heading out. He will be gone tomorrow from the FBI, and he looks to make his way back into the podcasting world. So one could only assume that he's going to have a lot of questions to be answered. And we expect him to answer just that. Where the hell were the arrests? It's a fair question to be asked. Now, every day on X, I post this post. And today it is January 2nd, 2026. And there's still not a single Democrat from the Obama-Biden regime that has been arrested. And that is a fair assessment, I think, one could make. But I asked you guys on X specifically as to how many of you feel that same way. Because yes, there were some charges that were filed, charges that were now dismissed. People like Tish James, James Comey, John Bolton. So why am I continuing to post this? Well, I think that Tish James, although I think she's scum, and I saw what she did obviously to the president while he was campaigning, is not behind the worst of the worst. And when you look at James Comey and John Bolton, Republicans, who obviously I deem as individuals who did commit acts of treason, but they were hit with the lightest charges on the totem pole. Let's talk about James Comey again. Those charges no longer, because again, they hit him with the softest charges and were unable to actually land a meaningful charge. I mean, yes, you could sit there and say that the judges are rogue and they are biased and it's lawfare. Yeah, I give you that. But these are two men who were not involved in the bulk of what we saw unravel. I mean, we've got the countdown. We've sat here and come together with our top most important issues. And we're looking for arrests. Things like Russian collusion, for an example. I mean, where are the Russian collusion arrests? There's none. There's none. What about conspiracy charges, treason charges? I mean, there's so much that we could be doing right now, and we're not seeing anything. You could tell me all you want that there's some things you can't talk about. If it's an ongoing investigation, the FBI can't talk about it, the DOJ can't talk about it. That's fair. But then why are we seeing continuous reports coming out from John Solomon, Fox News, with leaked documents? Again, Biden auto pen, Mar-a-Lago, the 2020 elections, Epstein, nothing, zero, 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 zero. Nothing's been done. So I assume as Bongino gets ready to make his way back to the airways, he's going to have to answer some tough questions. Now, whether or not he answers those questions authentically or figures it as a way to go and attack the rest of us, we'll just wait and see. See, the interesting part here is, you know, I've obviously been covering the White House. I've endorsed people like Director Patel and obviously Dan taking on these positions, Dan leaving prematurely. It is infuriating to see that there has not been any major arrests. And again, the FBI has to work with the DOJ, so this could be at the fault of the DOJ. We could say that as well. We don't know what's going on there. But to sit here and tell us you can't talk about ongoing investigations and then to drop certain documents, whether it's with John Solomon or Fox News or to Congress, that tells us that although you say all the time you can't talk about ongoing investigations, that's likely not an ongoing investigation or else you wouldn't be giving those documents over. So what is it? Well, as Dan Bongino makes his way back to the mic, we look forward to hearing his response and whether he decides to be truthful to the American people, which I hope he is, or if he decides to attack those who have been critical of how things have gone thus far, well, we'll get to see that. Listen, folks, if he decides to take the attack mode and go after Americans who are simply criticizing the fact that there has been no major arrest, that's not going to go over well. That would be a distraction rather than an actual admission of what happened behind the scenes. We'll see what route he decides to take. It sure will be a very, very interesting one, and we welcome any route he decides to take, of course. Because folks, I'm going to keep posting that post that you see there on your screen, the date and no major arrest until there's an actual arrest made. And the best part about it, well, I know it's pissing off all the right people. All right, let's keep it going. Let's keep talking. There's a lot more to discuss. Like in Germany, a streamer in Germany in clip 11, you're going to see, well, she's obviously a liberal and she wanted to show that the streets of Germany are safe. Well, didn't really go over well for her, especially because African migrants and Arab migrants weren't fans of her live stream and for her being out in public late at night. Take a look.
I'm a tennis ball. Best size.
Ow! Ow! Fuck! Ow! Ah, ich habe irgendwas abbekommen. Ich habe irgendwas gegen den Kopf bekommen. Ow! Ich glaube, wenn ich so 2 Meter Türsteher stand, hätten die das nicht gemacht. Ah, schon wieder, Alter! Wichser!
They're literally stoning her on her stream. Now, she's blaming not the men who did this to her, of course. She's blaming Twitter. She's telling people that, oh, she's telling her audience that folks on X took this out of context. I don't know what the in context thing to that is. She's obviously looking behind her because she knows someone's throwing things at her. So again, this is the big problem here. Now, also, just to give you some background on all of this, you know, 10 years ago, a group of girls from all over the area in Germany were attacked, sexually assaulted, and robbed by these migrant men. And that's the reason why you don't see women on the streets anymore, because they know what these men do. So while she pretends like everything's safe, women could go out there and enjoy New Year's Eve, it's obvious they can't in Germany because they've been conquered by both African and Arab migrants. So again, the level of stupidity is off the charts on this one. And now she's still running the defense for them because, well, she's probably afraid of getting arrested by her own government if she does decide to speak the truth. All right, let me give you some insight as we head into the new year, as we are officially in the new year, I should say, in regards to taxes. Because Democrats have launched a bunch of new taxes, specifically in Michigan. The gas tax just saw an increase. It was originally at about 32 cents a gallon. Now it's been boosted to 52 cents a gallon for those who live in Michigan. The governor obviously signing that into law, so that just kicked off on January 1st. Poor people who live in Michigan right now can't even enjoy the cheap gas under the Trump administration. No, no, no. We can't let you see what Trump is actually doing. So now we're going to add 20 extra cents to each time you hit the pump. These people are absolute garbage. But yes, this is what they do, obviously, in blue states. They hold their people hostage and drain them of all their finances. Again, lawmakers pretending like this is going to go directly to roads. And so that's the reason why they're doing just that. And it's not just Michigan, too. Taxes are going up all over the place, even in places like Virginia. And you're never going to believe this, but Fairfax County specifically has just launched a new tax. Take a listen to Clip 12.
Starting in January, if you go to eat out at a restaurant in Fairfax County, you will be forced to pay a 4% meals tax. This also goes for if you go to a grocery store and order prepared meals. The Fairfax County Board of Supervisors passed the food tax this year to help address their budget challenges, even though voters rejected it twice.
The Fairfax County Board of Supervisors has talked about the affordability crisis in Fairfax County. Has this board made life more affordable for their residents?
Absolutely not. A lot of talk, but when you look at the action, 50% increase in real estate taxes in 10 years, meals tax, bag tax, new regulations that increase the cost of housing, no, they haven't addressed affordability at all.
Yeah, so if you're somebody who wants to just, you know, get a meal because you've been working and slaving away for the government, trying to keep a roof over your head, well, now there's a tax for that. That's what's going on in Fairfax County. I'm sure that will lead many Americans to abandon restaurants and places like food service industries that will provide them with that because they want to pay a tax. And I don't blame them. I don't blame them. But speaking also of taxes, it's interesting because recently Democrats were called out for their exemptions. They were trying to go around the no tax on tip by still charging these individual state taxes. Now, obviously, President Trump pushed this as a federal policy to exempt some taxes on tips. And it caught a lot of, well, caught a lot of Democrats off guard. People like New York Governor Kathy Hochul, she was criticized for not implementing the elimination of state income tax on $25,000 in tipped income. Well, she's coming forward now and supporting that policy, coming out yesterday and saying that she's kicking off the new year with a proposal for no state income tax on tips, continuing my efforts to make New York more affordable for hardworking New Yorkers. Oh, so heartwarming. Thank you, Kathy Hochul. Oh, it's never ending with these commies. All right, folks, if you want to join the show, give us a call, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We'll be taking your calls in just a bit, so buckle up. There's more to discuss in a moment. We'll also have two incredible guests on the third hour of this program that you're going to want to stay put for because, well, we've got an attorney right now who's knocking on doors in Ohio trying to uncover more Somalian fraud, and she'll be joining us on her mission in just a bit. In the meantime, though, make sure you head on over to alexjonesstore.com as well. Your Thief Tallow just launched that. It is an incredible way to kick off your Maha goals in 2026. Grab yourself some Beef Tallow over at thealexjonesstore.com.
The problem is, this is when the globals could knock the power out and blame the Russians or whoever. They've already pre-programmed that. This is when they could set off attack nuke, try to shoot down Air Force One with surface-to-air missiles, blame Iran. This is the globalist color revolution that they've done hundreds of times around the world. Hundreds since 1947. Operation Ajax, Operation Gladio. The list goes on and on. I just keep saying, danger, danger, mortal danger to the country. Mortal danger to your future. I mean, I can physically feel the anxiety and electricity shooting up and down my body and the palpable, not fear, because that's not the feeling I feel, the feeling of ready to fight. And I'm fighting in the information war. I have electricity feeling in my teeth right now. I have to make myself not bare my teeth and bug my eyes out right now as I address you, because that's what I feel like. People want to conquer us. You want war? But I understand it's informational. So that's where I am right now. But I just showed you who I am. That's what I feel like every second right now. That's the urgency. Fauci and Gates and Schumer and Newsom want to destroy our future. Who want us to live in bondage? Who want to cut our children's penises off? You Satanist. I'm just telling you, I've never felt so much urgency. My spider sense has never even close to this much on fire. My cells tell me I'm in a war. And to girt myself for it. And to guard myself for truth, because we are up against the scum of the earth that will give us no quarter. This is an endless war, a fight between good and evil. And in this cycle, good is rising, and good is winning, and evil can feel it in its bones. And it is rising to the challenge.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Now, back to our program.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all joining us. I'm going to kick things off by taking calls in just a moment, but I wanted to get to the story that I teased for you earlier in the show in regards to Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia, obviously, is a very strict country. that executes those who try to smuggle drugs in. And last year, for 2025, they executed 356 people. It's according to the AFP tally. That sets a new record of the number of inmates that have been executed by the kingdom in a single year. And again, they're saying that at least 243 of these people were executed for drug-related cases in 2025 alone. Now, obviously, that is very, very interesting and obviously very quick. You're convicted and you're quickly executed. But again, this is what's going on in Saudi Arabia. Maybe we could start, you know, putting the death penalty into implementing the death penalty, I guess, just drug trafficking cases. Why not? The president made that commitment during the campaign trail. And we still have not seen any of that as of yet. I also, if you want a quick little laugh, the Daily Mail released this story, and it's a exclusive about a gay man who met two Afghan migrants on Grindr. Well, he met these two Afghan migrants, and he thought that they were just shy, so he decided to invite them into his home. Now, obviously, when you're woke and you don't understand how these things work, you learn the hard way. And these two individuals are now accused of robbing him, surprise, surprise, after he let them into their home. Apparently, the two carried out about 35 burglaries, 20 related scams, seizing phones, watches, passports, withdrawing money from bank accounts, and more. And again, they messaged their victims on Grindr and then arranged for the meetup. Yep. The victim, who's 47 years old, lives in West London, spoke anonymously to the Daily Mail about their convictions in November, saying, you know, he just looks like a white guy in the profile picture. And again, he had no idea that these individuals were going to rob him. But he's lucky that that's all he did, because in their own country, they don't look at gay men and just want to rob them and do other things to them. So lesson learned, lefty. All right, guys, let's go to take some calls right now. And let's welcome to the show Liberty in Washington. Liberty, welcome back to the show. Happy New Year.
Hey, Brianna. It's so nice to hear from you. Do I have an echo?
A little bit, but I could still hear you. How are you? It's good to hear from you too, Liberty.
What I want to bring up is Harrison Smith asked a question, and he said, what can we do? And I want to remind the viewers about what Trump used to do, which he doesn't do anymore. He'd tell the American people to boycott something, a company, a beer, whatever. And as a unified force, we would all do it. And I don't believe that the people really want a J.D. Vance, Marco Rubio ticket. I'm just being honest. I believe what the people would like to see is a different ticket, like an Alex Jones and General Flynn ticket. And I think that would show the people that there is going to be a new sheriff in town, one that actually believes enough to go to jail and to be prosecuted and all the stuff. And between the two of them, they have enough contact that they can make their own administration. And the guy from El Salvador, Bulabla, he went and he just eliminated entire offices, and he gave Trump a blueprint, which he's not doing. And we need to get rid of Susie Wiles. You know, I call her Susie Wiles Netanyahu, and I call Pam Bondi Pfizer, and Todd Blanche, I call him Toad Blanche. And these people need to go. And if a question could be posed and everybody agree with this, don't buy gas on Tuesday or something like that. And then everybody just collaborates and nobody buys fuel on Tuesday. So they buy it on Wednesday. They buy it on Monday, but they don't buy it on Tuesday. And if every American watching this show did something like that, it would get attention. Take your kid out of school for, you know, on Thursday and the date, and everybody does that. But the question is, if you want Trump to do this, then everybody takes their kid out of school on Thursday, give a date, whatever, but it's like, you know, like within the week. And everybody takes their kid out of school on that day. That is going to show Trump that we are united. We are not. InfoWars is the populist vote. And he has pollsters, you know, he can ask, you know, what they would think about an AJ Flynn ticket. But we need, Alex needs to do more than us just financially supporting him, which everybody should be buying his products. But we also need something that doesn't cost anything, a change in our buying habits, whatever, and our work habits, boycott your job or whatever, you know, whatever it is, some cause of action.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Liberty, I'm with you on this. I don't like the fact that we've been pushing J.D. Vance, not we, but they've been pushing J.D. Vance. I think that we shouldn't sit here and assume who the next nominee is going to be. The people decide that. And so I'm not a fan of watching people go out there and push him as if it's an automatic lane for victory. You know, J.D. Vance hasn't done anything as of yet. He's just taken on this role, and he was quickly elevated within the party to this position, which sets off a lot of red flags for me. But obviously, people like Peter Thiel and others who he has a very strong connection to are quickly elevating him. And I'm not a fan of that. So, you know, I don't dislike J.D. Vance, but I also don't like this movement to make him our nominee and pretend like there's no other challengers. I look forward to seeing who else wants to throw their hat into 2028. And whoever that is, we could kind of make our decision from there. But watching people like Erica Kirk and others at a time where we're trying to unify the party go out there and endorse J.D. Vance, I don't think that should be the tone that we all get behind right now. There are plenty of Americans out there who are looking to see what other kind of leaders looking to step their way to the top and to potentially lead this country on the Republican ticket. And I look forward to the people deciding that, not the elitists, of course. So thank you, Liberty, for joining us. We appreciate your thoughts as always. Let's get it to Chad in Minnesota. Chad, welcome to the show.
Happy New Year, Brianna. Officially
say Happy New Year, Chad. Yes, yes. What's on your mind?
Calling about the interview that you had earlier, great interview. And there was a specific question or a topic that you discussed about the fact of having a newsroom and then edit, you know, coming out and saying, okay, well, are we going to actually kill this story? Are we going to move forward with it? And the reason behind it. And I think that's the importance of, I think, just as a whole, just seeing how I think people are waking up and realizing that the mainstream media is not where you go and get your news. Now, there are some people that I think, unfortunately, will just never get through to those individuals. It's sad, but it's true. But I think you're starting to see that, and that's moving towards critical mass. And I've always thought in my mind, I always pray for it, is that we get as many individuals to give us a critical mass moment where we push the needle into having individuals wake up on a level it's undeniable, and it moves things in the direction, at least gets things going in the direction of having maybe a 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 year revolution of just clearing out and cleaning up all the systemic fraud. And I truly believe it's going to take 50 years. Just, we all know how much fraud it exists within just the government. And then think of all the individuals that are employees to companies that are fraudulent, and it just goes on and it goes on. And then there's voting, and we were talking about a lot of getting these individuals prosecuted, but until we see sentences, mm-hmm. Bob Menendez, there's one. We had a senator, a U.S. senator, that was sentenced because of what? Taking bribes. Gold was involved, and taking bribes from who? Now, some people may say, okay, well, it's Egypt and Qatar. Okay, well, and then, you know, how does that play out? But that, going back to that, the importance of having individuals come out on mainstream media That's probably embarrassing, which is a good thing, but it's also a good thing to see them at least admit to it. And then what has to happen is follow up with that journalist that has made that promise to be more on the side of journalism from a true and non-biased aspect and say to the people, here's what we're going to present, the truth. And that's what happens is when you have, I mean, Matt and I discussed this where he said, you know, hey, you need to make a dollar. Yes, but it also, if it's already coming in with a biased way and your sponsors and all those companies are fraudulent and they can't have you pushing forward the truth, well, then that just doesn't hold any water. You can't. So follow up with these individuals. Make sure, hold them to it, right? We got to hold these people that come out and say this. Hey, get these people sentenced, get it to the end. And that's the answer is just waking everybody up and getting to a critical mass. Thanks for your time.
Yeah. As always, Chad. No, thank you. I appreciate it. No, I agree with you. It's frustrating to see again. And when we do get these charges and we do land indictments and we're waiting for a sentencing, yeah, I mean, I don't like the fact that sometimes, too, that they're getting pardoned by President Trump either. So it doesn't send the right tone either. Although he'll claim that a lot of these people are politically being prosecuted. I don't think that's isn't the case. Chad, thank you for calling. We appreciate it. Let's turn to Tim in California. Tim, Happy New Year. Welcome back.
Happy New Year, Brianna. Yeah, you know, I was 9 o'clock here in California. I decided to switch over to my smartphone and find the live broadcast of Letitia James, Attorney General Letitia James, swearing in the 112th mayor of New York City, Zoran Mamdani. And it was very blasé and ordinary and no cheering and no picket signs. It's almost like they didn't say where they were going to do it and nobody knew he was going to be there. There's basically nobody there at that one. But the odd thing that I guess I wasn't prepared for, it was just the normal stuff, like, do you hereby swear that this and that and blah, blah, blah. But what was odd was when she got to the end, she said, so help you God. And he goes, so help me God. And I thought, well, wait a minute. His hand's on the Quran. He's already admitted that, you know, that's his thing. And if that's the truth, he's number one, he is allowed to lie. And number two, they don't believe in God. Allah is the only one that's, you know, the supreme being. You know, our God is just, you know, he might as well have said, I swear on the tooth fairy or the Easter bunny. That was my thought. What does it matter that he swears to God? He could have sworn on the Easter bunny. That's what I thought. I don't know if that means much, but that's what I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not alone. I don't think that the fact that he's swearing on a Quran is despicable. The fact that he shouldn't be in this country in the first place, Tim. He's not going to take his oath seriously. He doesn't like us. He is an enemy. And sadly, they have decided to just allow this to happen, allow this to play out. So, no, I don't think he takes his oath seriously. And then he sits there and does divisive things all the time and tells people, residents in New York, if you're a landlord, I'm going to seize your land if I don't like what you're doing. And so, yeah, no surprise there. So, Tim, it was very disappointing as a former New Yorker, as someone who had to flee because I saw it was getting really, really bad. And sadly, Republicans are weak. It was not easy for me to watch either. So I chose to just watch some of the clips because it's very, very sad to see New York take this deep, dark red turn, I guess we could just say at this point. It is a communist takeover, and sadly, we have just officially lost New York. So very, very sad. Tim, thanks for calling into the show. Let's get to Brian in Canada. Brian, welcome to the show. Happy New Year.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Great. Everybody's worried about the midterms. And the Democrats are charging 4% tax and 20% gas tax in Michigan. Isn't that going to help the Republicans?
Yeah, it's 20 cents. It's an additional 20 cents in Michigan, and then it's 4% in Fairfax County, Virginia. Yeah, one would think it would help them a bit. I mean, if they could explain themselves, but they're not really good at explaining that, Brian. They're not good at being able to say that, hey, listen, taxes, I mean, the price of gas is very inexpensive right now in this country. If you live in Michigan, though, you're not really receiving the benefits of cheaper gas. That's because your politician has decided to raise the cost of gas for you, and it's now going to cost you about, I think it's 52 cents a gallon in taxes alone. So even though here in Texas, I was actually just at Sam's Club, I paid, I think it was $1.98 for regular, which is insanely cheap. I never thought we could dip it below $2. But people in Michigan will never see that. And that's just the reality behind it. So yeah, Brian, I mean, you'd think that would help them win the midterms, but I don't know if they're ever going to be able to communicate that to the voters because they really have always failed at that.
Do you think we'll see any arrest from the Democrats?
Can you agree with that? Sorry, I broke up a little bit.
Do you think we'll see any arrests from the Democrats?
No, no. I think that, you know, I've been pushing for it, and I hope that they do at some point make a big arrest, but I don't see them really angling to go after these deep state operatives. I think they've taken the lowest hanging fruit on the tree rather than going after those who are responsible for the lawfare we've seen taking place over the last few years. Unfortunately, again, the key players in all of this are untouched, and I won't sell you on this. I would love to say that I'm wrong, though. I'd love to there be an arrest, a high-profile arrest of any of the individuals involved in, like, Russiagate, the Auto Pen scandal, election fraud of 2020. But unfortunately, I don't see that happening. Now, if there is an arrest, you know, I don't mind taking back my words and saying I'm wrong, but I'm also not going to oversell you, Brian. So, sadly, I don't think there's any arrest coming our way. Thank you for calling, Brian. We appreciate it. Let's turn to Sean in California. Sean, Happy New Year. Welcome to the show.
Happy New Year, Brianna. Mic coming in loud and clear.
I can hear you.
Excellent, excellent. So I have two for one today for you. The first one is quick and easy. I was thinking kind of in the vein of what Nick Shirley's doing. Maybe InfoWars or American Journal could create a portal on your website, kind of like a how-to kit of how to do the investigative journalism and to do these investigative reports, but steer clear of running afoul of the law, because I know certain members in the InfoWars family have their ways of doing their research, what have you. So it might be a good idea just to put out a blueprint of how to do things. I've helped teach people how to do FOIAs and Public Records Acts and stuff before. So I thought, you know, if I can do that type of training, someone in your office definitely would know how to do it. And other news dropping from the great state of Alaska, first name, I believe, dropping his name out in the governor's race coming up, is a friend and mentor of mine, Destry Payne. So he'll be running for Alaska governor, and he is probably one of the best constitutional experts you can have among the general public right about now. So you got someone who actually knows the Constitution, believes in it being forced, supported the original Trump agenda before everything went sideways this second term. And I'm interested in seeing if Alaska can lead the way, because he has some ideas that I think people will find very interesting and might just restore the power of the people back to their states and to their governor's mansions. So there was one other thing I was going to throw at you from the earlier caller, too, the lady talking about the boycotts and stuff. That's a key thing. People have to actually get off their tail and take some kind of action. The inaction days, those are gone. So whether you're, you know, get involved with general drill assemblies like I am, whether you're doing a petition drive, whether you're, helping your grandmother around the house, you know, because she's not mobile. Whatever the thing is, make life easier for the people in your community and then expand that from your, you know, city to your county to your state. Start thinking that you got to start getting involved, either helping people or being politically active. The time for being passive is long gone.
Yeah. Well, Sean, thank you for calling. I appreciate it. No, I agree with you also in your first part when you were talking about the independent journalism world. It's something I advocate for and I tell everyone else to get involved in. And I try to break down and simplify the FOIA stuff. It's even why I had my attorney on the show, so people could go out there and figure out how to do FOIAs on their own. State laws are kind of complicated, and so each state is a little bit different. But, you know, simply researching where funding's going and then following up is usually a pretty solid way to go about doing things. So we'll pitch it, though, over here on InfoWars to see if anyone get that up on the site as well. So, Sean, thank you for that. We greatly appreciate your time and calling in. Let's turn to Matt in Phoenix. Matt, welcome to the show. Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year to you, too. I was just getting I'm kind of lamenting the fact that with all the scandal being exposed, and it's not just in Minnesota, We're hearing about it in Ohio, in Washington, Maine. I will bet you it's in all 50 states. And there's not a single person that I'm aware of that has been paraded in front of a camera with handcuffs on, although we're being told that, you know, there's all these arrests. I haven't seen a single public official being arrested. And I didn't know if you had any knowledge of anybody other than the mythical people that are allegedly being arrested, who actually is being arrested for any of this. Any idea?
Yeah. No, Matt. No, I mean, okay, so I know that the original investigations of COVID fraud in Minnesota was 2022, and I was told by a source that the Biden administration shut down that investigation as it was going on, and although there were over four dozen individuals wrapped up into that, that he stopped their prosecutions, and I was told that Director Patel stepped in the summertime and said, no, 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 let's go back there and revisit this, and so that's why you've seen some recent indictments. Again, I haven't been able to verify that, but that was somebody at the FBI who wasn't very happy with my coverage about what you're talking about, Matt, about no big arrests being made on that front. So, yeah, that's the rebuttal I received. But I haven't seen any big officials, and I think that this goes obviously to the top because, like I always say, there's over close to 6 million people who live in Minnesota and about 100,000 Somalians that live there. And for some reason, they've changed their state flag and they've done so much for the 100,000 people that live there that came from Somalia. So it didn't really make sense to me, unless, of course, you want to factor in the probable idea to float out there that these Somalians have paid off these individuals in cash. And so, yeah, it's likely that these politicians have been paid off in cash. And the only reason why I'm able to say that is because I've seen the previous indictment, too, in that last round that we just talked about in 2022. And they did try to bribe one of the jurors, went to their home with $125,000 in cash for them not to convict one of their fellow Somalians in the fraud. So, yeah, no major arrests. Not surprising. Matt, thank you for calling in. I've got about a minute left. So let's get to Karen in Florida. Karen, welcome to the show. Karen, you with us?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Karen. Okay, we've got about a minute, so I'll let you carry it away from here. What's going on in Florida?
Well, I'm calling about the Haitians that were imported in here years ago, but when Biden was president, they live right next to me, and there's like 20 of them in one home. They have all brand new cars after Biden got in, and here I am, a single woman. I'm getting ready to sell my home because I can't afford it. I mean, the insurance is $10,000 the last 2 years. It's just sad that these people get handed everything. And, you know, me as a single woman have to work my butt off and I get nothing, no relief. And yeah. It's so annoying and frustrating. I wish this wasn't happening in our world, but it is. And the Haitians are a big problem in Florida right now. There's so many of them still here from the earthquake, and they just get handed everything. And it's not good.
But, yeah. Well, Karen, you're not alone in that frustration. I just want to tell you, I used to live in Florida, so I know exactly what you're talking about. And it's very, very frustrating that they have been given these passes to be able to do what they want. It's really, really upsetting. Also, and I have to do more digging into this because as a New Yorker, I'm well aware, even the Hasidic Jews have been a part of the government fraud for quite some time, but they're never prosecuted either. And that was something that was really frustrating to me. I actually was watching a video and I just had to fact check it, so I didn't put it on air today, of one person who's claiming that he's gotten the government through the fraud that him and his family has committed to pay for his mortgage, but he owns the home and through Section 8 housing, they're making those payments to them. Hasidic Jews, historically, because I'm from New York, are the ones who don't get married on paper, and they have their wives claim their children and such when it comes to claiming welfare benefits. So they're rich. There's a lot of scammers out there, not just the Somalians. All right, folks, we got more to discuss in just a bit. Don't go anywhere. Mahek Cook is on the ground right now in Ohio uncovering some allegations of fraud, and she joins us to discuss in just a moment.
I didn't plug last hour. Because I've been so focused on the news. If I don't plug, we won't be here because I'm not funded by the Qataris or the Israelis or the Russians or the Jews or the Easter bunnies. I am funded by you. So I'm going to sell you products that really work so you want them. Now, we got two different flavors. Fruit Punch, and then Freedom Mango. I didn't name this. It's a very, it was like a firecracker. It's a beautiful cover. Ultimate power. How about unlimited power? Ember Palpatine. But it really is a pre-workout, post-workout, Turbo Force 2.0. I mean, this is seriously powerful, super high quality. Everything it does for your body is next level. Ignites mental clarity and focus, cleans, sustained energy, enhance blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. L-citrulline converts to L-arginine. Don't know what that does. We got the best formula of it. It's amazing. L-theanine, relax, wake up, clarity and focus. Natural caffeine from coffee concentrated. Vitamin B12, the highest quality, B6, and more. This is really strong. If you love Turbo Force, you're going to love Ultimate Power. We should call it Unlimited Power. I don't remember Palpatine on the cover. The point is that it funds the operation. I said, hey, we need a clone of this product or make it better for their store. And they said, okay, this is what they came out with. I've been on them for a year to do this. It's really strong, tiny little scoop. This thing, by the way, is heavy. This is like a whole bunch of servings, like a couple months worth. So get yours now. I like the fruit punch flavor. And by the way, today's the one of the last days where you can get 60% off on Ultra Methylene Blue, Irish Sea Moss, Shilajit, and more at thealexjonesstore.com. Thanks for your support. Hour number four is straight ahead.
Friday, everyone. Happy New Year. We're getting ready to kick off the third hour of the program. Mahek Cook joining us in a moment. She's an attorney and a Republican strategist, and she's on the ground right now in Ohio exposing alleged fraud that might actually be taking place in the state. Again, we know this is widespread, but it's important that we cover this extensively and point it out where we see it happening. She's been knocking on the doors of Ohio daycare centers, and surprise, surprise, they're not very happy to see her. In fact, they've assaulted her twice so far. But Mahek's not backing down anytime soon, and she's in fact pushing back by continuing to expose just that. And she's joining us on the ground in Ohio to talk about that. Plus, we'll also be discussing a lot more with Mel Kay today. Mel Kay joining the show because she wants to sound off, as many of you guys know. Republicans, and you know, we got to be critical here because the Republicans decided to have a deposition with Jack Smith, even though Jack Smith allegedly wanted to have a public hearing, Republicans advocated for it to be behind closed doors. And then the deposition was released late Tuesday evening, afternoon. But the interesting part, folks, is that this was released right before New Year's Eve, because maybe they just didn't want people to watch it. I mean, one has to really wonder why they would do it then. It doesn't really make any sense. Why not just hold off and wait until, well, next week when people are paying attention? But no, that's not what happened. Also really shameful, Jack Smith wasn't dragged off immediately after his deposition after making a bunch of outrageous claims and admissions in his deposition. So that was a true disappointment. So Mel Kay is getting ready to sound off with me, and we look forward to having her on to do just that. But like I said, folks, it was a massive, massive disappointment. So we're going to cover all of that in the third hour of the program. So buckle up, more to discuss in just a bit. But in case you guys missed it, we've been covering a lot in. We did a great interview, if you missed it, with John Stoll. John Stoll used to work over at the Wall Street Journal. He spent about 20 years in journalism, and he's now an advocate for independent journalism and making sure that we fund it appropriately to get reporters on the ground doing just that. So he just launched a Substack page, and in his Substack page, his very first story is talking about his relationship with Elon Musk. He just also worked for X recently. And so he's got a lot of insight on Musk, and it was interesting to go through because it starts off with his beat reporter days, his editorial days over at the Wall Street Journal, and how Musk really wasn't a fan about one of his reports. And then quickly, Musk became a big fan of his, and they had a relationship that went on for several years. And so it was very interesting to see it all play out. So he joined us. If you missed that, then head on over to band.video and make sure you watch that later today, because it was very insightful to hear from his perspective, the billionaire, and what he truly does behind the scenes to keep things going, and then the buildup of Tesla as well. So we look forward to that. All right, folks, so we're going to buckle up because there's a lot more to discuss in just a bit. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. That's thealexjonesstore.com. That is how you keep this show and all of the great shows over at InfoWars up and running, because right now, when you make a purchase
of a supplement over at theelkshowandthestore.com. You're going to get the Atomic Defense for free. You get a free Atomic Defense with any supplement purchase right now over at the shop. So if you haven't done so already and you're looking to kick off the new year with a healthier option and improve your health, that's the best way to do just that. You could also make sure you grab that beef tallow. It is grass-fed beef tallow. We just launched this one. It is obviously a favorite. If you're someone who is looking to increase, you know, make more, I guess you should say, health-conscious decisions, and this is a great way to do just that. It's packed with vitamins, and it's a great way to purge the seed oils in your life. It's a tub of about 2 pounds of grass-fed beef. Tallow is incredible, and you guys are going to love this. So head on over to the shop and make sure you do just that. Also, the deal on this one, the pricing is actually amazing compared to what I get at, what I used to get, I should say, over at my local farmer's market. So we just launched this, so make sure you head on over for 100% grass-fed beef tallow. Grease on the mind, oil on my mind. You know what I'm saying here. Folks, again, head on over to the shop and make sure you grab just that. When you subscribe, you guys get an incredible discount as well. So never run out. Make sure you become a subscriber. All right, folks, a lot more to discuss in just a bit. Buckle up. Two incredible guests joining me in just a moment. And there's a lot more to discuss in regards to fraud and where the heck Republicans stand on this. Are they just showboating us? Are they just telling us that, oh, we're going to do actual investigations? Or will it be massive arrests? Because obviously this didn't just happen organically. A lot of corrupt politicians were given their blessing in all of this. So buckle up. We got more to discuss in just a minute.
In my kitchen, I cook what's right. Simple traditions, pure delight. Optimal human beef tallow treats meals just right. Cook strong at high heat with a taste so bright. So get yourself to the Alex Jones store. Support the crew and the info war.
Wake up, folks. Spread this message. The globalist machine is tightening the chains, and they're after your freedoms.
The Podesta plan is in operation.
Don't worry, it's safe and effective. Don't you just love my GMO potatoes?
Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is unfolding before our very eyes. We must question everything.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
All right, welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all joining us today. A lot happening over here, a lot of fraud being exposed all across the country, and it's interesting because, well, folks, I think a lot of people thought this was just something that was happening exclusively in Minnesota, but that's not the case. There have been plenty of individuals ripping off our taxpayer dollars to take advantage. And there's a couple of great independent journalists on the ground who are exposing just that, but there are also attorneys getting involved. Mehek Cook is one of those incredible attorneys, and you're going to listen to clip 15 of what it was like for Mehek knocking on daycare centers in Ohio's doors. And surprise, surprise, they weren't very happy to see her. But the sad part in all of this, and instead of just explaining how they are legitimate businesses, they were so frustrated and angry to see her that they actually assaulted Mehek. Take a listen.
Hi, I was wondering, are you open today? Do you have any paperwork? I just wanted to look up your enrollment for a three-year-old. My name is Mehek.
You gotta go.
Okay, I'm just asking. You can't push.
Whoa.
Okay. They just literally pushed me out. Like, that's insane. Their hours are Monday through Friday.
Say they should be open.
And they literally asked if I'm recording and then pushed me. That's insane.
Okay, Mehek, there was two videos that she's going to join us with and talk about, but the first one is them actually, and it's two separate daycare facilities. There's one that actually slaps Mahek's phone out of her hand, and then the one that you saw there push her out when she's simply asking basic questions. And if you're a legitimate business, then why would you be bothered by this? Joining us on the ground, continuing to do her reporting, and she's not shying away anytime soon, is Mahek Cook. She's an incredible attorney and a Republican strategist, and she's really doing a great job on the ground there trying to expose a lot of this. Mahek, thank you for joining me. You know, you've outlined a lot of these allegations of potential fraud that could be taking place in Ohio. Tell us about your investigation and what you've uncovered thus far.
Well, thanks for having me, Brianna. I started looking into this, and it was genuinely initially home healthcare systems, because I had whistleblowers come to me with evidence stating that there were individuals coming in predominantly from the Somalian, Nepalese, and Bhutanese community asking for home healthcare services that didn't qualify. They said that they couldn't stand, they had disabilities, but when you did all the testing, it never really added up. So in addition to visiting home healthcare centers, I'm also going to daycares. I'm knocking on doors and asking questions about enrollment and how much it costs. The two videos that I put up, I wish we had actually started recording ahead of time. The first daycare we went to, we never expected it. I was just there to ask questions, but now I realize how important these recordings are. I was physically pushed out. And then the second time we actually started the recording, you were able to see them pushing me further and screaming at me through the door for simple questions. The second daycare I went to, same result. You had somebody who actually, again, can't see this on video because I would expect them just to answer simple questions. They lured me in and my friend Thomas Hearn on the ground and then tried to grab my phone and push me out of the door, which is the altercation you're seeing. This doesn't sound legitimate to me. When somebody is coming in to ask simple questions, they're using our taxpayer dollar for their daycares to just ask how much it costs for enrollment. But this is what this community is doing. They're hiding rather than actually providing sunlight for the situation. And I'm looking at every daycare right now that is owned and operated. And yes, majority are Somalian. So that's what you're going to see videos of.
Yeah, and that's the thing here, too, that I want to touch upon, because a lot of these individuals are saying that we're targeting Somalians, but that's not the case here. It just seems to be an abundance of alleged fraud that's being carried out by the Somalian population that have come into this country. And although, obviously, Minnesota does have, I believe, the highest population, Ohio, I think, is second on that list. So that's the reason why so many are speaking out about this. When you're sitting there and you're just trying to get simple answers to your questions, what specifically are you asking them that has them so upset, unhinged, where they're assaulting you?
All I asked was, are you open? And could you please tell me how much you charge for a toddler in daycare? And it's immediately met with a visceral reaction. I've been on the ground today. I think that my face and my friend Thomas Hearn's face is now circulated in the community. They realize I'm an attorney. I don't think you should put your hands on anybody, but they realize they definitely shouldn't be messing with me. So they have allowed us to come in, ask questions, and they've been far more forthcoming. But there must be a WhatsApp group chat with my face and Thomas's face on it where they're saying, at least talk to these individuals, because we're polite, we knock on the door, and we're asking non-threatening, very easy questions about when they're open, what their enrollment process is, and how much they charge. And the ones that have been the shadiest are the ones that are pushing you out physically, that have broken windows, that aren't really operational. They even have buses outside that look like they haven't moved in weeks. So I am going to continue investigating this with Thomas and make sure that we turn all of this information over to the state officials that should be investigating this. I know what state officials are saying. They're saying that they went and they've conducted a lot of these audits, and these businesses have either passed, either they're fully compliant or partially compliant. And my question is, partially compliant, when you actually pull up these daycares and you see blood, soiled sheets, outlets that aren't completely covered, how are you allowing children back in there? Partial compliant means non-compliance, which means they should never be allowed to operate until all of these issues are rectified. It looks like a third world country in some of these daycares. So if the state believes they've audited, fine. My request is you audit every single one of them. And if we need better auditors to come in there, or rule changes or procedure changes, that's my demand today, because this is unacceptable for our children.
Yeah, and I want to actually ask you, when you walked into one of them and they pushed you out, did you see anything inside before they assaulted you?
It was dirty. It was dark. There were no children in, and they were just screaming at me. And so we weren't able to see anybody in there. The lights were off. There were non-operational and there were no children. One of some of the daycares we have visited, you've actually been able to see one kid today. Thomas pointed out they kept saying, mom, mom, mom. So I imagine the mom is the person who's providing the care. So we're seeing consistency of only a few kids and then somebody yelling mom. Now, I will also want to share what I was most proud of in our work today is we actually found a daycare where a Somalian administrator had us come in, sat us down. She knew I was an attorney. She knew Thomas. And she said, I want to be transparent in what we do. She walked me through the entire process. She told me that all Somalians are not bad people. And I agreed with her. I said, it doesn't matter what you look like or sound like. I just think if you're breaking the law, that's an issue and it's taxpayer dollars. So I appreciate you going through everything with me. She refused to be on camera. She's not comfortable with it because of her accent, which I did not have a problem with, but she definitely pushed back and said, that's just not something I want to do. But she was very transparent. She said that she's lived the American dream. She went to Ohio State University. She has two children now. One's a doctor, one just graduated, and she's very proud of this country. So I echo a sentiment. I think there are certain immigrants that come here and want to build up our country, and they follow the rule of law. They contribute. And then there's a population that don't. They continue to take from hard-working taxpayers on the backs of American workers and steal from us. Those are the illegals or the legal immigrants that I have a problem with.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm with you on that. I do have an issue with those as well. And again, it's not just the Somalians. You know, we just had a caller call in, and she's sounding the alarm on the Haitians in Florida who she believes are doing the same thing. And as somebody who's a New Yorker, I know Hasidic Jews in New York City were also another issue. There was a lot of them who would openly talk about how they're not legally married, and so one spouse is able to collect benefits while the other one doesn't because they make they're the breadwinners. So this is an ongoing issue that affects all communities, and it's something that I think needs to be looked at extensively, and it's deeply concerning. I want to talk a little bit too. Oh, and by the way, I should get this into, this was a post in an article that Greg Price did put up on X. It's about the Ohio governor, Mike DeVine, who goes out and says that even though, you know, Ohio does have the second highest Somalian population when it comes to the potential fraud at the child care centers, he refers to this as something that is unfortunately the cost of doing business. Do you see this as something that's preventable, or is this something that we're always going to have to just kind of rationally have to just deal with?
We're refusing to accept this. I think the status quo is what has gotten us into this place, and it's not only Ohio, it's every state. The fact that Elon Musk at a federal level was able to doge, audit, and get money back for hardworking taxpayers tells you that it's happening on a state level as well. The cost of doing business is not stealing from taxpayers. The cost of doing business is not stealing from mothers that are trying to figure out if they can have another child just to afford them to pay their bills. This is unacceptable. The only cost to do business in the United States of America should be your money that you're investing and that you're taking a risk on. You don't get to take a risk with our money. So no, we have to change the law. We need increased audits, and we have to work harder and smarter to make sure that fraud is detected. I understand checklists. I'm a compliance attorney as well. You don't just get to check the box and say, I visited this daycare and it was partially compliant, so we'll come back in 3 to 6 months. That is unacceptable. But this is exactly what government was designed to do. Most governments just check a box. If we really want to take taxpayer money seriously, audit America, audit Ohio, start from ground zero and build a mechanism. The U.S. Attorney's Office in the Southern District of Ohio has been investigating fraud predominantly in every community, but Somalian's been one of the highest communities. Let's go and audit all of the daycares, regardless of who they're owned and operated by. And mark my words, if you actually work with the U.S. Attorney's Office and the AG's office, and then I also think the federal government needs to get involved and build an audit system, we will be able to uncover millions of dollars of fraud. Most people aren't speaking up today, Brianna, is because they're scared of the word racist. Well, I'm certainly not, and neither is the DOJ, because Pam Bondi has already indicted about 98 people in Minnesota. So I expect indictments if the alleged criminal activity is true.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I was told by a source that over at the FBI that the Biden administration started launching these investigations back in 2022 and then stopped it when they realized that the vast majority of these individuals were Somalian and that Kash Patel actually made his way over to Minnesota and told him to continue these investigations and don't stop. And so that I was told, according to this FBI source, started over the summertime of 2025. So we'll look to see if anything happens over these next few months, but we expect hopefully that they're taking this seriously because this is obviously an issue. But again, you've known about this issue for quite some time. Let's talk a little bit about the home health care situation here because this is really frustrating. I know a lot of Americans who struggle to get the financial assistance when it comes to home health care. And so you continue to hear from whistleblowers in this front. Can you walk us through specifically what's been going on that front? Because we just keep hearing about the daycare centers, but this one's a massive issue as well.
So in home healthcare systems, you generally have a doctor who has to approve that an individual needs services because they meet a certain age criteria, they're disabled, and then they need additional services, whether it's feeding, bathing, things like that. So our elderly population in Ohio, the way to prevent them from going to a nursing home is to offer home healthcare services. It's 60% or more even cheaper to keep your family members at home. I had aging grandparents. My grandmother's still alive. It's a fabulous system when it's used correctly. But what these whistleblowers were telling me, these providers in particular, is people were coming in and asking for their paperwork to be rubber stamped. The providers would go through all the testing and say, you don't qualify. You don't have a disability. You can walk. You can stand. We see you on weekends out of a wheelchair. And these individuals would get angry and say, well, then we're going to go back to the same provider who is rubber stamping our paperwork. Some came in and said, we'll make it worth your while. Well, that sounds like a kickback to me. So I have a list of these individuals and providers that are rubber stamping paperwork, and I have taken it over to the Attorney General's office. I'm also going to release it to the Ohio Auditor's office. But these facilities need to be investigated. I have about 14 to 15, but my ask in Ohio is why not investigate all of them? Why not start investigations so that you can see if there are double requests for, let's just say you're asking for 24 hours care. That's really hard to get. Why not look to see if these individuals are really qualifying for care? If they're really getting it, home health care providers should be checking in and checking out. A lot of times, though, this is the toughest part. A family member can provide services. So I could say I'm taking care of my grandmother today and make between $75,000 and $90,000 a year just sitting at home and saying she can't walk. So we also have to look at the doctors that are rubber stamping this paperwork. Are they getting a kickback from these home healthcare services? This is so easy to detect because it's a forensic and financial audit that needs to happen, and it's being overlooked. But it's shocking to me, again, a significant portion is the Somalian, Nepalese, and Bhutanese community in Ohio that own home health care services. I visited one with Thomas Hearn just a few days ago. In one building, you had 30-plus home health care services. None of them were open except for one that I walked into and asked a few questions. That raises red flags to me.
Yeah, no, and it's happening everywhere. It's happening everywhere. And it's really concerning that's been going on for this long. Again, you're doing great work, Mahek, over in Ohio right now, as you're just continuing to ask these simple questions that unfortunately, they don't want to answer. They don't want to answer. So Mahek, we're going to continue to follow your work. Folks, if you want to continue to follow her investigation as it goes on, head on over to X right now. Give her a follow. Mahek Cook is her X name. And you also post great content as well, Mahek, so definitely do just that. We appreciate what you're doing on the ground. Keep us posted on everything and stay safe.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, folks. I want to talk about this next report. But actually, before I get to this one, let's do this for a second. I just want to float an idea out there. Maybe we don't just give money away to these daycare facilities, millions and millions and millions of dollars. Maybe we start incentivizing mothers to stay at home with their kids. Now, just going to float this idea out there. So many parents right now are forced to put their kids in daycare because they're unable to get by on one income. And so sadly, they miss some of the most precious moments of their child's growth, their childhood, by dropping them off at a daycare facility and allowing someone who maybe isn't family take care of their loved one. And unfortunately, they don't have that same level of care. Wouldn't it be incredible if our government incentivized mothers to stay at home with their kids, maybe through tax write-offs, or instead of giving those monies to fraudulent groups. Maybe we shift those funds over and give those to moms who are willing to stay at home and raise their children. And maybe they have three or four kids. I mean, wouldn't that be an incredible way to make sure also that we are growing our population here in America? I would say it's a good idea that maybe, I mean, it's my idea, so I'm a little biased, so I'm going to back it, of course. But it's really frustrating to sit back and watch as we give people all of this funding, millions and millions of dollars of your money that we're forced to. And it's just a backward society, right? Because mothers can't afford to not work and raise their family. So what they have to do is work their butts off, slave away. That money is then taxed. That money is then shifted over to the daycare facilities who are fraudulently committing fraud. And so they're pretending to be these daycare facilities raising children. And so enough is enough. Let's start having these types of serious conversations and start supporting women who decide to stay at home and raise their children, because that, I believe, is the best way to do just that. And also help families out who are struggling to get by in this country, because we need more American families to have children, and we need to incentivize just that. All right, now let's bounce on over. I was going to play this clip for you. It's from News Nation. News Nation has been on the ground doing more digging into all of this, and they're in Minnesota right now, and they found a massive amount of Somalian-owned healthcare companies that are, surprise, surprise, not being honest when it comes to providing healthcare services, allegedly, of course. Take a listen to clip 16.
This building right behind me has 22 different home and community-based healthcare companies registered in the building. It's only four floors. I walked in there yesterday trying to find a number of them. Many of them are appear to be just window fronts, door fronts, with nobody behind. So same story, different location. We're here in St. Paul at this building, which looks like a warehouse or a dilapidated old building. Inside this building, there are 60 registered home and health community healthcare organizations inside this one building. We're here in Northeast Minneapolis, and we're at a building that I believe is on the radar of authorities. They have questions about it. A lot of the businesses in here are home healthcare businesses. Of the total businesses, there's 37. 17 of them are home healthcare businesses. There's just layer upon layer upon layer of fraud throughout this city, Jessica. As for whether Governor Walz is going to testify before the Oversight Committee, that remains to be seen. We asked him at his office if he was going to testify, and we have yet to hear back.
Surprise, surprise. Again, folks, there's a lot of fraud being exposed, and we look forward to continuously covering that fraud. But it's really not surprising to me at all that this is the ongoing issue that we have in this country right now. And it's good to see that it's being exposed finally, and that your taxpayer dollars might actually be saved for being misspent and being shipped over to Somalia. But again, this has been an ongoing issue. Liz Collins doing incredible work as well on just that, interviewing whistleblowers and so much more and diving into all of it. So we'll continue to follow it, of course, but it just fraud everywhere. And it just seems like it's repetitive, but it's not really surprising. Not really surprising. Also worth noting that Natalie Winters has a story that she recently put out in regards to Somalian charities. That's a quote. Who have routed their donations through ActBlue. That's according to her reporting. Minnesota-based organizations that receive government grants are raising money through ActBlue. Of course, that is the same platform that many of you guys know is campaigning with Democrats. And there's a lot of accusations that they have been, you know, receiving donations from individuals who, Americans, who don't know that they're giving donations. They say that they haven't donated through ActBlue. And their name is listed. People like Phil Holloway, who is an attorney, actually found his name listed as an individual donating through ActBlue, even though he did not make a contribution. There are so many more. And of course, that also being done by, that reporting being done by James O'Keefe. Surprise, surprise. More incredible independent journalists exposing just that. But Natalie Winters dropping this Substack article specifically saying that, Somalians, their so-called charities are routing their funds also through ActBlue, but I'm sure nothing to see here, folks. Nothing to see here at all. Ugh. Natalie Winters also doing an incredible job at doing so many great bombshell reports exposing both this, but also exclusively being one of the individuals really giving the CCP hell and exposing their, their efforts to try to destroy and take over the United States. So she's also a great follow. If you're not doing so already, but I'm sure you are. All right, folks, we got more to discuss in just a bit. Jack Smith wasn't dragged off in handcuffs after giving his deposition. And that was very, very disappointing. My girl Mel Kay is going to sound off with me because, you know, I listened to his deposition. I listened to it at like high speed. That wasn't sitting there for the full 8 hours. And it was quite the enlightening experience. I'll break down the very latest in regards to all of that, especially because, you know, he thinks that President Trump doesn't have a First Amendment right to free speech when it comes to making accusations of election fraud. Surprise, surprise. So we'll get to that in a moment. In the meantime, though, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. I can't stop talking about it, but we just launched beef tallow, and you know I'm very passionate about cooking. So head on over to the shop and make sure you grab yourself some beef tallow. It's a great way to get rid of the seed oils in your kitchen and have a healthier solution. If you're someone like myself who, I mean, I make chicken parmesan every week, and so beef tallow is what you're going to want to use instead of using those disgusting seed oils. So if you like chicken parm, go with the healthier solution. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and improve your health with some beef tallow. It's an incredible product, jam-packed with a ton of vitamins, and also it is grass-fed. Grass-fed, folks. This is a high-end product over at the Alex Jones Store. And it's 2 pounds of beef tallow, and it's an incredible price, better than probably your own farmer's market. I know for myself, my farmer's market is significantly more expensive. So head on over to the shop and grab yourself some beef tallow today.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula and you like it?
I did, and I do, yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after The Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there. The shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Ho, 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 ho! Merry
the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, everyone. We're excited to have you back on the American Journal, of course, to kick off the final lap of the third hour of today's show. Happy New Year, in case you didn't hear me say it 10 other times on today's show. But, you know, we're kicking 2026 off by making sure the accountability tour doesn't slow down anytime soon. And by slow down, I mean, let's just kick it off. Let's kick it off, because it hasn't really been what the American people voted for. And I'm trying to be as nice as I can about this. It's been very disappointing. And Republicans are really who to blame in all of this. I don't know if you saw this. Most of you probably are preparing to celebrate your New Year's Eve, but House Republicans decided to wait until late Tuesday afternoon to drop the video of Jack Smith's deposition. And this is what we just call like a way to tuck it in and hide it so that the American people wouldn't watch the full 8 hours. Because why would you release it right before a major holiday when people aren't paying attention if you really wanted the people to see this? And it was a head scratcher for me until I was listening and realized Jack Smith said something that was very revealing, that he wanted to be the one to come forward and do a public testimony, but House Republicans told him not to. In fact, they were the ones, apparently, according to them, that did not want it to happen. Now, I just got an alert. The FBI is holding a press conference, and we will get to that shortly. It's in regards to a terror attack that they believe was potentially going to happen on New Year's Eve. We'll bring that to you once it goes live, but it looks like they are getting ready to go live in just a moment. But let's play this clip of Jack Smith's testimony, clip 17, in regards to his admission that he actually didn't disclose to the judges that he was requesting the phone records of Republican lawmakers. Take a listen.
When you sought these non-disclosure orders, the judge didn't know it was a member of Congress. Is that correct?
I don't think we identified that because I don't think that was department policy at the time.
That doesn't believe that was department policy at the time. Joining me to discuss my girl, Mel Kay. She's the author of the book Americans Anonymous, and she's also host of the Mel Kay Show. I highly recommend you give her a follow because, folks, she's one of the best on social media. And she's trying to save this country because she knows, well, we can't rely on the leaders to do just that, those in the office to do just that. So she's doing that with the book Americans Anonymous, and she's with us now. All right, Mel, I was very disappointed. I know you were as well in regards to Jack Smith's deposition being released. Surprise, surprise. He wasn't dragged off into handcuffs immediately after his deposition, but he admitted a lot, and it was infuriating. Your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are, first of all, had Trump not won the 2024 election, this would still be going on. Arctic Frost, this vengeance tour, this horrible disaster would still be sweeping up people. Donald Trump would still be on his way to going to jail. Jack Smith showed not even an iota of humanity or anything. He was on a mission to destroy. I have to tell you, as somebody who's looked really deeply into MK Ultra and other things, watching him was so disturbing because there was a coldness, a deadness to him, and he was going on and on. And the bottom line was everything he's talking about is his assertion that Donald Trump believed that Donald Trump lost the 2020 election. And then because of that, he lied to his supporters saying that he believed it was stolen to rile them up to go to the Capitol and cause all this chaos. Nothing of that is even close to true. A. B. Nancy Pelosi and all of the people that were involved in the January 6th committee obviously had predetermined ideas for that day, because the truth of the matter is that as soon as Nancy Pelosi heard that there was a breach of the Capitol. She ended all the regular procedures of January 6th and certification, went into emergency mode and pushed through the win, so to speak, of Joe Biden and skipped all the procedures of questioning the election, getting standing, any of that, the ability to do that. Donald Trump and most people to this day that are honest know that the 2020 election was manipulated. 51 intelligence agents lied to this country boldface on the cover of the New York Post and everywhere else saying that it was Russian disinformation when they all knew since 2019 that that was Hunter Biden's laptop, that the Biden family was compromised, that the American people deserved to know. It was a conspiracy to defraud the American people before the 2020 election, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. Jack Smith was also, and this is where my problem lies, he's not the kingpin of lawfare. The kingpins of lawfare are very clear. They are Norm Eisen, since before Trump even got into office, has spent every waking minute of the last decade trying to destroy Trump. I also believe that he wrote the memo, him and Andrew Weissman and Brookings, that Jack Smith and Monaco used to indict Trump. So all of those people, then we have the entire D.C. court that Congress could shut down just for a time being and investigate what has been going on in that D.C. court that Boasberg has been running since 2016 and figure out what is happening there. Because that D.C. court is a unique court that Congress controls and funds. So what we have here are all of these criminals in a decades-long cover-up operation, and Jack Smith sitting there essentially saying he wanted to put Donald Trump and many of his supporters in jail for thought crimes that A, are protected by the First Amendment, and B, was a setup. Again, as we've talked before, what do we know about the 247 undercover FBI agents dressed as MAGA people on that day of January 6th? Many things about January 6th still need to come out. And these lunatics are going to have a reunion of the January 6th committee this week and going to go over and honor all the first responders and the cops that were there that day. We don't even know what happened that day. We sure as heck don't know what happened in the 2020 election, but we know that Zuckerberg put in $300 million, the plandemic changed to mail-in ballots and harvesting, all of this stuff, all these anomalies. And what is most disturbing is that Tulsi Gabbard comes out 10 months ago and says that they have proof that the 2020 election was absolutely rigged and stolen, which ends all of Jack Smith's BS. Okay. If they would just bring out the truth about January 6th and about the 2020 election, all of the people involved in this decades long lawfare and then cover ups could be charged and indicted because they are lying. But as long as the 2020 election sits out there like a hot potato, they're going to keep playing it. And they keep saying ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, they keep saying the election deniers. Still, they keep saying the rioting Trump people that broke into the Capitol. These are both lies. And at this point, if we're going to play along, then the 2026 election won't be changed. Nothing will be upgraded. Nothing will be reversed before plandemic election, legal election procedures. And we'll go into 2026. And you know what? Norm Eisen and the same people that they should be going after already have impeachment articles for Donald Trump the day that they believe they will take back the country, the House and Senate after the 2026 election. So if none of the stuff from 2020, from January 6th is exposed by the Trump administration, FBI, DOJ, NSA, intelligence, then we are going into a very, very dark 2026 election cycle. And what could happen after then would be devastating.
Yeah. Yeah. And Mel, it's frustrating because, you know, we heard Susie Weil say that the president's going to be on the campaign trail and she's going to be campaigning. He's going to be campaigning like he's running for president himself. I don't see that winning with the American people, though. I think most Americans want him in the White House and pushing for these critical things to be done. You know, election fraud hasn't even been touched. And it's really enraging, I have to say, that we are continuing to hover over this one issue. I want to get to this other clip because this one actually had my blood boiling. It has Jack Smith saying that President Trump is not actually protected under the First Amendment when he was making claims of election fraud in 2020. Take a listen to clip 19.
As I sit here right now, I can't remember specific conversations. I do remember that we knew that a sort of First Amendment defense would be part of the case. And I think when I mentioned to you earlier about how to frame the case, we want to make clear that this was not about trying to interfere with anyone's First Amendment rights, that this was a fraud. And as you know, under Supreme Court precedent, fraud is not protected by the First Amendment. And so in my mind, it was important to make that clear in the indictment. And that's why when we litigated this issue before the district court, we prevailed.
But the president's statements that he believed the election was rife with fraud, those certainly are statements that are protected by the First Amendment, correct?
Absolutely not, if they are made to target a lawful government function and they are made with knowing falsity. No, they're not.
Okay, so apparently the president isn't allowed to claim fraud when fraud takes place. Is that the argument he's trying to make here, Mel? Because that's what it sounds like to me.
Well, what he's trying to do is say that Trump believed that Trump lost. And the fraud was Trump lying to the public, saying that he believed there was fraud in the election. No, this is completely ridiculous. But again, we have 10 months have passed since Tulsi Gabbard came out and said that they had all this evidence. We've heard this evidence. Of course, Alex has had on Patrick Byrne. You've had on a lot of people that are saying that there's other evidence. We have the whole thing that Ratcliffe put out before Trump even left office about interference from China and elsewhere. So what he's trying to say in the most Machiavellian ends justify the means dead eyes is that Donald Trump lied to the people because he said that there was fraud in the election. I'll tell you right now, I think about 80% of the American people believe that there was fraud in the 2020 election, not to mention the dirty trick by the 51 intelligence officers that lied to the American people going into the election about the Hunter Biden laptop and everything else. But what he is saying here is that Trump was trying to interfere with the 2020 election and challenge democratic norms is what he says here. And that he, Trump, was participating in fraud by saying that the election was stolen. And therefore, don't forget, he's also saying that John Eastman, Rudy Giuliani, all of these people also participated in a fraud. That's not true. Everyone knows that's not true. The fraud was initiated, I believe, in the bowels of Congress. And certainly we don't have any idea what was on the disappeared Nancy Pelosi laptop or any of that stuff. And the bigger fraud is that the January 6th committee was not only unconstitutional, but the appointment of Jack Smith was unconstitutional. He was working in The Hague, and for the first 6 weeks of investigating Trump, he was still out of the country. So again, and we're talking about the entire Russiagate, the entire Spygate, all of this is a globalist operation to destroy America from within. So you have to also remember the Five Eyes nations, the CIA, all the people that were involved in the initial Russia collusion lies that they picked up from Hillary Clinton. This is a global operation to overthrow the duly elected president in the United States of America in 2016 and then have a color revolution for 4 years that David Brock and Norm Eisen put together a whole document, Democracy Matters, got together the entire 100 biggest donors of the left and plotted out how to destroy Trump and MAGA and anyone that supported them for 8 long years of fake investigations, fake special counsel investigations, all of this. And Jack Smith has the nerve to sit there and say Donald Trump is not entitled to the First Amendment because he pointed out all of this stuff, which then leads you to believe that not only was there fraud, but that there was an operation to overthrow Donald Trump in the first term and then to put him in jail so he could never run again in the second term. And that's all this is about, is covering up the original crimes from 2016 to 2020. So, I mean, what we're dealing with is a bunch of criminals. And you know that his big thing was that his whole thing was that he was going to use Republicans to go on the stand to say that they told Donald Trump that there was no fraud. Therefore, Trump was lying. You know who he's talking about? Mike Pence, who still has a big question about what went on there. He was egging on the country. He came out and said that there was fraud until he said there wasn't. And then we're talking about other people that never Trumpers, whatever. So he's saying that because this handful of never Trumpers and, you know, the pro-DeSantis folks told Donald Trump that there was no fraud. And don't forget Tony Schaefer and the whole story about Bill Barr telling everyone to walk away. Don't look into this, all that. CIA Barr, who ended up being somehow the AG cover-up man. But the bottom line is that all of this, the fraud was committed on the other side. Jack Smith's appointment is a fraud. Jack Smith is going in there charging things that are novel legal theories created at the Brookings Lawfare by this obsessed Norm Eisen and his friends that have done nothing for almost 12 years but plot ways to destroy or jail Donald Trump and end the MAGA movement, period. So, I mean, we should turn everything this guy's saying around and charge him. In my opinion, he should have been in handcuffs already because there is way too much going on in the background of the Jack Smith indictments. And frankly, when he talks about the circuit court, that's that Boasberg court. Nobody can forget Boasberg was involved at the highest level of the FISA violations that happened that led to all of this. And now these lunatics are about to vote on extending warrantless surveillance 702. So the American people will never know anything and we can spy on everyone forever. And like Jack Smith didn't know, it wasn't procedure. Well, he's been working in The Hague. What does he care? He's a rogue player and it's very embarrassing and the questions were ridiculous. And frankly, I don't know if these people in DC even know what really happened the last 10 years. It really doesn't seem like they do. And what I am hearing too is that there are inner circle people. I don't know about Susie Wiles, but other people that keep telling Trump to just forget 2020. Well, we can't forget 2020 when Jack Smith is out there lying to the world, still saying Trump, he somehow knew that Trump didn't believe that he won in 2020 and went out there and then caused these people. And never forget, Trump was still speaking at the Ellipse when the so-called breach happened and Nancy Pelosi called emergency procedures to end any questioning of the 2020 election and any chance for there to be standing in courts. And then when people went to courts, what'd they do? I'm not going to look at the evidence because there's no standing. So this is all a joke until we find out whatever Tulsi Gabbard says she has to prove the 2020 election. Ratcliffe said that he had stuff back in 2020. I mean, we have all this stuff from Venezuela and Smartmatic. Just let it all out there and let's clean up the elections before we vote in 2026. I mean, yeah. I don't understand what else there is to do.
Yeah, well, Mel, it doesn't seem like that's a top priority for those who do carry that. Carry the positions that are the ones who are going to make those changes. We know that obviously Tulsi Gabbard has been very vocal about this and she would side with your views on all of this, but it's been really frustrating. And I want to get to this point of the deposition is make sure we throw this out there, that Jack Smith was asked, did you develop evidence that the president was responsible for the violence at the Capitol on January 6th? And, he played this little, you know, dance around the words response, but ultimately he didn't have any evidence that proved that President Trump was responsible for the evidence, for the violence that took place at the Capitol on January 6th. And his long answer really was just a quick no, if he would have just answered honestly. He didn't have any evidence. And so it's really frustrating that, House Republicans just kind of allow this to all slide under the rug. I mean, they had this deposition blasted out there, keep pointing to all of this, but sadly they're not doing just that. Mel, I want to get your take on this because I have been told that I am a very tough critic of the FBI and DOJ and that it's not warranted and that I am biased in my opinion. So let me just bounce this idea off of you. Every day I put up a tweet and in that tweet, it just says that today's January 2nd, 2026, not a single Democrat has been arrested from the Biden-Obama regime. And I was told by this really high up official that no, that's not true. We arrested or we charged Tish James, James Comey, and John Bolton, and that should be enough for someone like myself to stop harassing the FBI and DOJ every day with this post. Do you think that's enough, given the fact that those two charges, those two individuals, well, those charges got tossed out? And by the way, I mean, I just happen to think that these are the lowest hanging fruits on the tree when you want to pretend like you've done something. You hit James Comey with a lie in the Congress charge when there's probably a lot worse you'll get it with.
Yeah. Well, first of all, let's be honest here. They are not going to get good, fair juries or trials. If right now, you know, the globalist funded NGOs are running, classes in DC on how to get on juries and disrupt the judicial process. The real problem is, frankly, the DC court run by Boasberg and all the people under it, all the judges we heard about, what they did to these people on January 6th was based on all lies, lies that they were repeating. They're about to have a reunion of the January 6th committee to honor the judges, to honor the prosecutors, to honor the cops from that day, to honor, I don't know, the 274 or 47 undercover FBI agents dressed as Trump supporters on the front lines of the breach of the Capitol. All of this is ridiculous. I also don't understand that they don't understand that the voting public, this isn't about Comey or Letitia James to the voting public. This is about what happened to the public. This is about what happened on January 6th. Where is Nancy Pelosi's laptop that they all claim disappeared that day? You know, why isn't this been done? And frankly, there have been lives ruined, people put into bankruptcy. And I'm not just talking about the 1,600 people arrested in the first year after the Fed surrection and all of that. But what about all the lawyers? What about all the electors that went broke and bankrupt, that had to pay hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars to defend themselves? What about what happened to Peter Navarro and to Alex Jones and to Roger Stone and Bannon and all of these, Sidney Powell, Rudy Giuliani? All these people's lives were destroyed. So, I mean, I just don't understand. The criminals are very obvious to me, and you start at the Lawfare crew and those law firms that were obviously involved, and the Hillary Clinton campaign, and the idea that this was a global conspiracy to overthrow the duly elected of the president of the United States in 2016 in a color revolution regime change that is still going on because it continues to be prolonged and covered up. But Jack Smith, in that hearing, you know what he's saying, Brianna? And this is the truth. And whatever these people are saying that you're, they are going to not only in every way, shape, and form make sure that they can continue to manipulate and use all the plandemic nonsense going into the 2026 election. If the 2020 election and the 2024 election evidence isn't put out there and people aren't held accountable for election fraud, but even more than that, they are going to indict Donald Trump the next day. Jack Smith, basically in that entire thing, if you watched it, is saying they're not done with Trump. And as soon as they get back in power, they're going to take him out once and for all. And this is all based on what they consider thought crimes. All it is a cover up and a protection racket for the people that should have been charged for Russiagate years ago. So where we are right now is that we, the people of the United States, particularly on the right, have to stop fighting amongst each other. You can't, it doesn't matter if Bannon doesn't get along with Stone, or this guy doesn't get along with that guy, or, you know, Turning Point is fighting amongst themselves, and Candace and Loomer and whatever. Forget it. If these people get back into power, that guy is telling you right there. And the problem, even bigger than that, is that the Democrat Socialists of America, who should not be able to run, just took over multiple cities, including New York City, which is a long-term game of the globalists. If you look at Norm Eisen and his tactics, Gene Sharp, From Dictatorship to Democracy, the Democracy Playbook, all these playbooks that come out of Brookings, they're all about regime change, color revolution, taking over nations. They've been running this operation since 2016 in America, and the American people know it. And so, you know, having these little charges for Comey or getting Letitia James, they're putting them into courts in front of judges that are not acting on good behavior. Boasberg should have been impeached long ago, okay? So what I'm saying is, God bless them for getting the fentanyl and all that. I just don't think that they understand the American people suffered, too. The American people suffered. All the people that went to jail, all the people that had to pay for defense attorneys for lies coming out of D.C., all these prosecutors that lied to the juries about five dead police officers, never happened. All these things, and biggest of all, Arctic Frost was a fraud. So the people that signed off on Arctic Frost, Ray, Monaco, and Garland, should be dragged in front of the American people and questioned. But you know what? I watched the weaponization hearing. Nobody was held accountable. Not Facebook or Zuckerberg, not Jack or Twitter. Nobody. So Jim Jordan does that. You know, a month ago, Comer put in the report about the auto pen. No indictments there. That's what people care about. That's what people care about, is the people that set up January 6th, the people involved in Arctic Frost that apparently spied on 3 million Americans, apparently, and calling them domestic terrorists, white nationalists, you know, national Christians. It's all been a cover-up from day one of what happened in 2016, a color revolution, and they are not done. So the minute that these people take back power, Jack Smith was essentially saying, we're going straight back in and we're going to finish the job. And that will be the fault of the people that have not held the real orchestrators accountable. Cause I haven't seen, other than Comey, like Letitia James, she is what she is. She, you know, but Comey is not the tip of the iceberg. It's not. It is the lawfare people and the Brookings people that have been manipulating all of this, including the two impeachments we already had. It's all coming from the same group of lawyers. And those are the people that need to be held accountable.
We appreciate your time as always, girl. You are a force to be reckoned with, folks. Give her a follow on X, the host of the Mel Kay Show. Thank you, Mel, for joining us. All right, folks, that does it for us. We'll see you here on Monday. The Alex Jones Show is next.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't know, and I'm going over there. You finance it. You paid for it with your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at TimFullerShow.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King. Make no peace with evil, say Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me. And it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy Unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy in a tube, or you get it for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens for their hats. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like in Star Trek Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.